Good afternoon, Eagle FM listeners, whoever you tuned in from. Thank you for tuning in. This is, of course, Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. And should we just say a special good afternoon to Commerce Region? Don't worry, there will be a special good afternoon to all of you.
You were making me surprised. I was about, please don't let it be the governor, please.
No, definitely not.
Fair enough, you know, good in terms of the greeting to our fellow regional residents. The reason, obviously, that they can obviously deduce is if they've seen our social media poster. Specifically what we're going to be focusing on. And the second thing is, guys, just so that you understand this, I have to be upfront right now. I'm not going to play bad cop today. I'm just going to be honest in that. I'm not going to play bad cop. You know,
I'll try to be serious. That's all I can say. But go on.
In terms of my introduction to today's program, it's a good thing that what the governor did in terms of taking stock of things and basically running things down in terms of looking at situations. I would have loved it, Hamid, because I don't know how you feel about this way of reporting. But I would have loved it if, you know, public officers give us the challenges before and then we cascade into every area that has a challenge in it. You know, the challenge then gets described by what's going on. Reason being, for example, the governor went and broke up land affordability, affordable housing. How to adequately support rural communities, the establishment of communal land boards and communal communities in the region of Comas. But they were like separated as if they are unique things from the same resource. Now, I don't know who in what world did people go and think that because land for agriculture is different from land for housing. Yes, the use is different. Yes, the purpose is different. Yes, the ultimate goal for a specific need that you're trying to alleviate is different. But we are a complex organism, us humans.
Yeah.
So if you want access to housing, you'll also want access to food, which is our food security and nutrition discussion, for example, last week.
Yeah.
You'll want all these things. You will need affordable housing for temporary urban populations. He even cited Comas is, and he is the, beside, I haven't listened to the previous governor, his predecessor, McLeod, what was her name? Laura McLeod, what was the lady's name? But I didn't listen to any of her speeches when she did State of the Region addresses, you know, in terms of comparing what would the governor focus on, whether the governor was her or whether the governor is Sam today. So we get a look in terms of what he took stock of, but under the land discussion, I would have loved it if he kept everything in a land related bracket instead of going from school sports stadium facilities which need land. I hear there's debt swapping for a sports facility, and then there's debt swapping for the availability of serviced Ervin in Windhoek, and the disconnect between that message and the total planned allotment of serviced Ervin is also divided from itself like this. It's the same thing that he went and spoke about, but it's divided like this. And for the viewers watching me us digitally, you can obviously see my theatrics in terms of the hand signals. And it's not sign language, just a disclaimer. It's just me and my theatrics. Don't worry, guys. In some cases, I had a past life as an amateur actor. I don't know when, but yeah. So
at some point,
those indications that he gave, it was very well, it was very detailed.
Yeah.
And obviously, I think this is his first State of the Region address after being appointed last year.
Yeah.
But in this scenario, for me, as a resident of Comas, I would have loved it if he started with the challenges first. You know, you start from the challenges first, and then we get to understand, okay, what is the stock taking of events, developments, activities, and so on. That's my introduction so far.
So he should have started with the challenges that we're facing, like the the children's placement at the beginning of the year first, before coming to the capital projects that are going on in the Ministry of Education.
Yeah. Or, for example, citing Surrey Police and the Namibian Police based in Windhoek, based in Comas region, face severe HR-related or recruitment, because basically he said it's recruitment-related challenges, meaning, which we can obviously see since their budget has to come from the Ministry of Home Affairs, and it's not my understanding in terms of, if you look, for example, like to South Africa, South Africa has a separate police minister that gets a separate budget.
Yeah. They are not a directorate under a ministry like
exactly.
They did here.
Exactly. And they don't have to compete with correctional services for budget. They don't have to compete with immigration services for budget. They have their own budget.
Hmm.
But it's one of these particular things that we should have taken stock of. We really should have taken stock of, and this is a national picture, by the way. This is not just a Windhoek-related issue. Okay, the other places obviously don't require city of Windhoek's. I know city police's, because city police literally mirrors what Johannesburg started with, the Metro Police. That's why when I used to go visit in South Africa, I couldn't understand why the Metro Police looked different from the SAPS.
Mm.
Until I understand, it's basically that this metropolitan area of this massive city has its own budget, and it can finance these officers separately from the South African Police Service.
You have like a little decor on your head.
A little decor. What does it look like, Albert?
Like a leaf? Nah, it's gone now. You're good.
We are all part of nature, don't we? At one stage or another. At one time or another.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Being part of, nature and all. But, yeah. So, if we look at this, it's a good thing that he cited that there are challenges. It would have been weird if he didn't outline challenges. Just not at the end of the discussion. You know, I was this close at two intervals to just stop his discussion, because I thought, I've now heard enough. I know the whole picture. Even though I'm a resident of...
You're going to get to the challenges.
But then I just, when I looked at the time frame of, how long that video message was, I was like, okay, we're close. Let me just see what is at the end. What is his conclusionary remarks? And then he summarized, basically. So the summaries speak towards to things we see every day. But yeah.
In terms of challenges.
In terms of challenges, yes.
Now, look, for me, the layout is not, it doesn't concern me at all.
Yeah.
Because you're starting with with the plans that were made and the executions that we are seeing, and he really zoned in the, the capital projects that are taking place, especially in basic education.
Yeah.
And I like that he started from children's placement problems that parents are facing, like about 300 about 300 lower primary children that had a problem finding placements, and about 800 grade eights that had a problem finding placements, and then from there he transitioned into the problem being caused by that, which is a no brainer, which is a lack of infrastructure. Then he transitioned into what the ministry is doing to sort of like address that that problem.
Mm.
Yeah, and from that perspective, I sort of like get your point of he should have started with the with the challenges, because when you say that I should have started with with the challenges, the first thing that came in my head was how he approached you know, the education component, especially from the basic education standpoint, starting off with, this is the problem we have. Some parents are struggling, and this is just regionally, not nationally. And we know that this is most likely than not to be to be a national problem. And that is, we have parents that are still, spending a lot of time, especially in the informal settlement, areas where you have, where we have placement problems. And these placement problems, not just the Minister of Education, but the governor and basically the government at large from a regional level are aware of this, problem that, that parents, placement problem that, that parents are facing. And the following part, now the part that comes next after pointing out those challenges seems to be the solution that the government have implemented to address those challenges, which is the, it's either the expansion of existing schools or just the building, new ones from the ground up, including one or two accounted, accounted special schools.
Yeah.
So I sort of like get like the flow from the flow, like you pointed out, of starting from a challenging, let's start with the challenges and how, what we are doing to address those challenges.
Yeah, because the report, and this is just about the structure, the report looked like things are in progress. Now, the interesting thing that stood out was obviously him citing various particular projects that central ministries close at hand. Because if you obviously look, Helmut, how far do you think is central planning from Ministry of Health, from that new hospital, the one that we need the 4x4s, when, back in 2024, when we the media were invited, and we were told by, I still remember that invite, we were told literally, please media members, you must make sure that you've got 4x4s to access the site. And we were like, what? How can you invite us if you know half of us can't drive? Okay, I'm not talking for myself. I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about the others. But at that stage, I still didn't have a 4x4, equipped car. The downside of such a scenario was you can't access that particular site easily, just for the fun of it to go see what it looks like. Here's the second thing. The good thing that I cited was work has already started. The bulk, the tender has been showcased. The bulk services for the groundwork are taking place, basically that being water and electricity connection and sewage and other particular connections taking place.
Yeah.
So that groundwork is already taking place. And it is still a stark reminder, Helmut, of the statement I kept saying throughout late last year into this year. Windhoek is growing too big for itself. Windhoek will have to break up.
That is, I was going to get to that point a little later, but now that you brought it up, there's something I find, fascinating because, I'm a little lazy to look internally at what's going on in Namibia. Yeah. I do that, but I don't do that at the same level that I like to look at what's going on in SADC and Africa and the world at large. But for a very few months that I've sort of like zoned in also, not just in presenting like we do here in Home Run, but also in writing what's going on in SADC and other regional blocs and the African Union at large. One thing that I seem to see is that just take the problems that we have here in Namibia and the challenges associated to solving those problems. It's the same thing that you are going to notice on a SADC level, and it's the same thing that you're going to notice on an African Union level.
Mm.
I'll give you an example. Right now there's water and sanitation discussion going on in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. Now, the thing is, I looked at the challenges when it comes to water and sanitation service related, service provision related problems, and the solutions that will address those problems, not just it's African Union, so they are looking at it from an African Union standpoint.
Yeah.
So I looked at the challenges that the challenges and the possible solutions, and the challenges associated with the solutions being implemented, And I also, and then I compared that to, okay, what's going on in the SADC region? And I have, now, I noticed that the very same thing can be noticed on the African Union level, on SADC level, and on a Namibian level. And one example when it comes to water service provision and sanitation is the, reaching either informal areas or rural areas. But I decided to sort of, look at the rural area, a type of setting. And then I reached a very simple, of what may be a very naive conclusion, which is a rural layout. We have to work on our rural layout if we want the convenience that comes with the service provision of urban areas. And that's because, you don't have to be a town planner or any type of town planning expert or urban planning expert to know that the sparsity in terms of rural layout makes, the provision for water and electricity and sanitation, just for example, very difficult. Because you have 500 people that live, 5, 10 kilometers away from each other. Now, just from a physical infrastructure alone, that, that becomes a very serious problem in terms of trying to solve it from a service provision standpoint. Because you will have to connect all these people using a lot of infrastructure that you don't, you don't have a lot of money to go around to, for you to afford. So that means we, I think it's high time we start having a conversation around, is it possible we, we should start having a discussion around rural planning?
Yes, I would.
Because if we just let it go, like, okay, you know what, you can just live wherever you, wherever you are. Because from this very sparsely populated, and we, look, I know we have very large portions of land, our landmass to, our landmass to population ratio is very wide. Therefore,
yeah, we're in the top five, sparsely populated countries.
Look, yes, we can use our land, you can live wherever, but the thing is, it makes service provision very difficult. Because you need infrastructure to reach everyone. You need power cables to take power to everyone. But if they are living 10 kilometers away from each other, that makes the provision of, of that service, just from infrastructure alone, really expensive. And now, another problem that you see emanating from that is you now have a lot of people that that don't have access to these services now wanting to live in areas where these services are already provided for, and more often it's in urban areas. Now, what's the one of the main difference between rural and urban areas? It's the planning.
The planning, the planning feeds into that prophecy that I keep outlining. Don't want to sound like a doomsday prophet of any kind, but the planning, Helmut, will only feed into basically speeding up that process, primarily where Windhoek has to decide into what particular sizes does it break up into, and what then becomes the new particular sort of like economic hubs of each of these particular sizes of Windhoek. It's still early days. Just to let you know, at the rate at which the rural to urban, specifically to Windhoek, is taking place, probably in the next 20 years, maybe, maybe. But we still have to look at that particular scenario. Now, the same resource, and this is a resource also which shows, which is the land resource, which shows a little bit of a different picture also taking place, primarily being the start of the governor's sort of like reporting. That he started on, where he started with the backyard gardening initiatives, the training, two projects, getting some sort of a funding aspect. I say some sort of a funding because so far it's just two projects that he cited, but he cited that a whole bunch of residents got, it's like 500 or 300 that got training in the start of that discussion. Now, that primarily feeds into what the city of Windhoek started on. Because the city of Windhoek basically back in last year, Hamoud, announced back this backyard gardening initiative. Remember you and I spoke about this specifically with the previous mayor at the time. What was the name? I almost said orange. The Portuguese word for orange. What was toch her name?
Laranja.
Then it is the Portuguese name for
it. It is. I know.
The Portuguese. Sorry.
And I'm also mayor. Sorry,
guys. Sorry, former mayor, but we realized now we remembered the Portuguese word for orange. So, yeah. So, that former mayor, Laranja, when she, unveiled that initiative. Now, that's a calendar year from then, when she spoke, up until now into this new year.
Yeah.
It is interesting specifically in terms of how you see the city itself taking up a leadership role, Helmut, because to me it looked like the governor was giving a report card from City of Windhoek's activities. That's what it looked like to me. That's why I said I won't be bad cop today. You know, I won't be walking around with a little imaginary hammer hammering down on a lid for every pot, like we say in Afrikaans, a deksel vir elke pot. No, because I could see everything, because most of these things are things that the city of Windhoek primarily has engaged upon, besides the education and the infrastructure component.
Yeah.
Because the education infrastructure components, as you and I know, the regional councils obviously also have representative offices of the ministries within them. But once again, let me point out this obvious part, this obvious geographic fact. How far do you think is an event from City of Windhoek and the central ministry, the main head office of agriculture and water and land reform? Agriculture will know, City of Windhoek, they will respond. If it's a water-related issue, they will respond. City of Windhoek then responds.
Yeah.
If it's, for example, if it's a street issue, Ministry of Works knows, it's City of Windhoek will respond. City of Windhoek will respond. Any streets here, Hamad, this street here in front of us, here outside our studio, that's City of Windhoek's jurisdiction. That's not Ministry of Works. Ministry of Works is where those speed humps were put up. I drove, when I came yesterday from that AU special technical committee event, ne? You should see, I couldn't understand, the Western Bypass is right here, ne?
Yeah.
As with that access road of Country Club, Western Bypass is like literally here, like a stone's throw away. And I couldn't understand why the cars are, I didn't pick it up the four times in this year that I've driven to Country Club.
Yeah.
I did not notice, why are these cars slowing down at this specific point here? Because I don't see a traffic sign. I don't see a traffic light signal. Yeah. I don't see anything. And then I remembered, because I saw them temporarily stop, slow down, and then roll over, and then speed up again, and then stop again, and then roll over.
It's definitely a speed hump.
But here's the weird thing. There. It's like 100 meters between each other. The two that I observed here, the weird activity,
mm-hmm.
100 meters spaced out.
Wait, like you have two speed humps within 100 meters of each other?
Yes. It's not even like these built-in speed humps, these ones that are here on this road of Samneoma Drive.
Yeah.
As you come down the hill from Windhoek High School, then you find these three, these three built-in tar road speed humps here at the bottom of the hill. Literally, as you turn around, coming down to this four-way where the Puma service station, the Shell, and the other Shell are close by.
Yeah.
It's not even like that. Because you could just, lessen down your speed if it's a manual car, and you just roll over those speed humps, that kind of a speed hump. That speed hump is just there to tell you, just come a little bit down with your speed. What happened there is literally what you see here, this speed hump here in our street. Get as low as first gear, roll over, engage your brakes, get into first gear, roll over, and then you have to 1, 2, 3 up to the stop sign again.
Yeah.
And then you have to 1, 2, 3 from the stop sign wherever you're turning left or right or going straight.
Yeah.
That's what happened there. But luckily for City of Windhoek, that's a Ministry of Works issue. Don't worry, guys. You are off the hook for that one.
It's
a good thing he didn't report on those things.
I think that would have been one heck of a comedy joke.
long as the governor didn't report on speed humps that he's not responsible for. I'm glad he didn't mention those speed humps.
That's why you can't have me as a governor, because those are the things I will start with.
I would have even, if I was governor, I would have asked, you know what, guys, disclaimer right now up front, I don't know those speed humps. If you're looking for somebody, go talk to that minister.
Call the minister. That has nothing to do with me. Okay. Picture this. The reason why, I went straight into the whole, planning versus more like a abstract type of, setup.
Yeah.
In terms of living, and then wanting to sort of like have the type of service provision that, how often do we hear the word development? Now, development is central to development is the human element. And the, more often we are talking about the human element in terms of development, from a service provision standpoint.
Yeah.
So you want, people to have, you want your people as a, as a nation's leader to have all kinds of nations or nation or constituency or regions, regional leader to have access to, easy access to education, health, sanitation and all that, which is why we have this whole, global discussion around 10-minute cities.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the goal is reach. Now, that presents a lot of problems. Now, I'll just point out before I get to the, to some of the challenges being provided. In his speech, the governor pointed out that by March of this year, we found out that over 300 grade ones were not placed, and 805 learners remained, grade 8 learners remained struggled to find placement, or basically remained unplaced.
Yeah.
Now, it's the places where this was more like higher, in terms of observation.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Tobias Hainyeko, Katutra Central, Samora Michelle, Moses Garweb, Comasdal constituencies. And then that has... And this is a, it ties into urban to rural to urban migration.
Yeah.
This according to this according to the governor pushed the teacher to learner to teacher ratio from anywhere between 45 to 55 to 1. That is a lot. That's one wide gap. So obviously there are two factors being attributed here. One is the is the fast expansion of the informal settlement.
Mm.
It can be factored into that. The second one the fast expansion of the informal settlement can be attributed to the fast movement between rural to urban migration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, it is speeding up. It seems.
It is growing really fast.
Yeah.
So that means. Investing into the infrastructure, which is not a bad idea, but I don't think investing into the infrastructure to solve this problem from a centralized standpoint, because I feel like it's exactly what we're doing. Yes, we're investing into the infrastructure that will make life easy in Windhoek. But what's going to happen is a lot of people will just keep coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, for someone who is coming from Kavango himself, I'm not saying don't come. I'm just telling you that there's no welcome sign in Windhoek. So,
welcome sign.
Yeah. There is welcome to Oshivarongo. Have a nice drive. Welcome.
That's true, eh?
Yeah. I mean, that's a running joke in the comedy, in the comedy community.
Almost region doesn't have something like that.
No.
But you see it here on the way to Harta.
May the Lord be with you is the welcome sign of Windhoek. Yeah.
It's just bright lights, and we see you.
So I think the thing is, what we need here is, I think we could use a Namibian version of the Matei plan.
For internally,
because you know that the whole idea behind the Matei plan is that there is this influx of movement.
We go help you there.
Yeah. How about we? Because listen, let's be honest. No one wants to come and pay $5,000 for rent just for fun.
Mm.
Now, a lot of people find themselves centralized to, you know, centralized in the commerce region, especially in Windhoek, because we have centralized commercial and political activities. And when you centralize those two, you also tend to centralize, by default, the opportunities. And these opportunities are what is attracting a lot of people. You have a lot of people commuting from Rehoboth and Okahandja. That's because now, if you took the opportunities that they are commuting to from Rehoboth to Okahandja, if you took them to Okahandja and Rehoboth, they wouldn't be here. So,
but now, do you think Windhoek wants to lose that competitive edge?
I think now you see the dilemma, that competitive edge. So my equivalent of the Mattei plan is that of what the Italian prime minister is trying to do.
Yeah.
That I think she knows that a lot of Africans, basically immigrants, which includes a lot of Africans, find themselves in Italy not because they basically want to be in Italy. It's because of the opportunities that are in Italy.
Yeah.
Now her proposed solution to that is, how about you take these opportunities to where they are coming from? Are they still going to come?
Mm.
And I bet you a lot of them will not want to go to Italy if those opportunities that takes them to Italy are present in their countries.
Definitely.
So, I think a lot of them would just want to go to Italy for a holiday and then go back. Now, if the opportunities, take for example in Namibia, were centralized, a lot of people in Windhoek would not want to be in Windhoek, but they would maybe just want to come and see the capital city and all that, and then, you know, when the holiday or weekend is over, they'd go back. Because, believe me, this place is ridiculously expensive to live in.
Wait, you can't just end with ridiculously.
That's
a matter of major opinion right there.
Yeah, it depends on whether you are
a trust fund baby,
cleaner coupe boy, or...
Or you even went for locations. I just said trust fund baby.
Oh, Mac trust fund.
Yeah. Mac dollar signs, but yeah.
Mac fishing quarter.
You're not gonna leave that alone.
No, not a chance.
You know, because I also want a fishing quota. But you can't make our chances this bad for a fishing quota.
You and I don't stand a chance. Not after 3, 4, 5 years of doing home run. We don't.
And we occasionally dab into that discussion, going like, you know what?
Hey, no.
Somebody wanted an iPhone with 2 SIMs. We don't know if that thing exists. But somebody wanted it.
Well, you can have it custom made.
Yeah.
You only just have to
just fly to China.
You left out step one.
What?
There's still enough fish. And then fly to China.
Still enough fish? You can't steal fish, Albert. How do you steal?
You have to.
Well, you technically are. We technically are stealing fish.
You have to, you have to steal it and convert it into liquid. Although these days is, that liquid is digital. And then you can now just, fly.
Fly to China.
Yeah.
Look, it's a long flight to fly to China. You know. It's a long, long flight. But I hope they get that 2 SIM card. iPhone with 2 SIM cards.
Yeah.
If that thing exists. Maybe in Indonesia, Since Indonesia told Apple, we can do it. You must prove 70% of the product is locally sourced.
The most hilarious thing to me about the whole iPhone, with two SIM cards, is the things that
did you almost lisp?
Yeah, look, it's the things that we desire when we have money. Seriously?
So we just say.
Just why?
We just say things.
You can,
I want Air Jordans, Air Jordans with jet engines on it.
You can just have 2 iPhones, right? But you're going, on second thought, I just want 1 iPhone. Seriously?
Just make that happen.
Don't worry about the money.
Yeah.
Yeah. As long as I don't get caught. Then bro got caught. Now.
And we all saw how he got caught.
Yeah.
We all saw. Okay, I didn't see it because it was embarrassing. It's embarrassing to see someone commit entrapment on your own ministers. And you're like, hey, toch, bro.
It's embarrassing for you. Oh, it's...
Couldn't it have been a braai at your house at least? Now it must be in a restaurant.
Yeah, and your minister is going, hey, lower your voice. Bro, there is a microphone in your face. What do you mean lower your voice? Yeah, we don't want to be on the front page.
You're done.
Well, you know, you did end up there, but yeah.
Yeah, you know, in Rukwangari, there's this, funny cartoon, you know, that was made from the Boondocks.
Mm.
Just they added on some Rukwangari, you know, voiceover type of thing.
Mm.
Yeah, there's a part that says, you know,
mm.
That means, it's too late.
Is it Riley telling it to Huey or Huey to Riley? Riley is the one with the afro. Huey is the one with the cornrows.
Is it
Uncle Ruckus?
Not Ruckus. There's this sort of like a gangster guy that said it to Ruckus.
Oh, you're talking about the characters that were voiced by Samuel L. Jackson and
yeah.
Those, yeah. I almost used the other word. The two wannabe gangsters.
my favorite is the pimp named Slickback. I think that's a whole different discussion.
No, not the pimp. The other one, my favorite one is the Stink Mina. The one that picks the fight with Granddaddy. Who even came out of, out of death, resurrected in the neighbor's body. Ne? The neighbor was just possessed by this guy. And then suddenly now he's doing everything just to annoy Hugh and Riley's granddad. I was like, what is this cartoon all about? But yeah, you know, we find out it was developed by a Korean director, American Korean guy.
I don't think that content will stand today's political correctness.
No, it might get what is that favorite Gen Z phrase? It might get cancelled.
Yeah, definitely.
But every millennial loves that thing. Every millennial that's watched the Boondocks, we love that thing.
Oh yeah, we do.
Not to be confused with the Boondock Saints.
Mm-mm.
The Boondock Saints is a live-action movie. Action movie, actually. But yeah. You were still saying, Hamid, about... Okay, not about the fish.
Apart from my fascination over, you know, of the things that we want when we have money, which is a very fascinating human behavior.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I was still on the layout plans. As someone that likes to watch a lot of history documentaries, every civilization that you watch, every civilization from the Incans, the Mayans, the Romans, the Byzantines, every emperor that comes up, every leader that comes up, the first thing they do is bring together experts to basically plan the layout of how people are going to be, situated more often for easy service provision.
Yeah.
But now, for a very long time of living in a rural type of setup, we never had the whole idea of, you know what, maybe let's have a type of living arrangement that can make a central or regional government provide the service that we want much easier. You only see the type of layout that makes service provision easy when a place is being converted from a rural to an urban area.
Mm.
But you still have, pardon me, people that are in rural rural areas, which is why a lot of us find ourselves, a lot of us find ourselves in urban areas, because urban areas is primarily thanks to the planning that makes service provision on a lot of levels much easier compared to the layout of rural areas much easier. We find ourselves in urban areas.
Yeah.
Now here's the thing. I understand the solution. One of the, I understand the solution. One of the biggest, solution to having 300 children, not finding placement is obviously build more schools.
Yeah. But where?
Well, the schools are being built with I like the language that was used here.
Mm.
10 basic education capital projects. All I had was tenderpreneur boys. Those are tenders. Now, 10 basic education capital projects are currently underway in the Comas region. 10 capital projects, and that's it, just in the in the commerce region, with a combined the combined value of 200 million Namibian dollars. Now, one thing that I found very interesting was five new education capital projects are under procurement for 2026-2027 financial year. That is around the value of 153 million. 2026-2027 financial year and still under procurement. Eish, that's a lot of pressure.
It probably means, because remember when you cited those projects at the start of your sentence.
Yeah.
If you guys don't know, these are a bunch of schools, but some of them are expansion projects.
Some are being built from the ground up. Some are just expansion of existing schools. Yeah,
and many of them are the primary schools.
Yeah.
Now remember when I explained to you how?
That's the part I missed. Many of them are primary schools.
Yeah, because he cited Havana School. He just said Havana School. He didn't say Havana Primary School. Mm-hmm. Now I was back in 2019,
mm-hmm.
I went on a little trip with the teachers who actually teach at Havana Primary School.
Mm-hmm.
They had to share a school with another school. They had to share a facility with a school whose facility is, what is that funny primary school? It's also a name, but it's there somewhere in between Banaera and something else. But literally on your way to...
Anyway, to Korea Hub?
No, I'm now getting my bearings wrong. But they had to share facilities when this other school finished, their operations for the day in teaching everything.
Yeah.
Then Havana Primary School has to come in from 1 o'clock. Then their kids go to school until 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
The afternoon.
Yeah, I think I remember that because I met two gentlemen that tried to bring that to light, that the number of learners, especially in parts of Havana, has grown because now I'm using Havana because that's where the guy came from. There are two of them, and we had them here on Eagle FM like two or three times. And one of them actually ended up being a very good friend of mine. He teaches at that school. Now,
is he the teacher that writes
books?
Yeah. That's the guy that gave me the tour.
That's
the guy that gave me the tour, yeah.
Yeah, now, here's the thing. I think there's a correlation here that you have between the need for service provision in terms of the conveniences and conveniences that are needed for day-to-day living that are found in urban areas more than in rural areas.
Yeah.
Now, combine that with the fact that Namibia is a very centralized country. And what you just see is that this is a burden on, this is creating, a lot of economic activities in terms of consumerism for commerce region. Yeah. But it also creates some, it has its own pros and cons, especially for constituency and regional leaders in commerce region and city of Windhoek.
Mm.
Yeah. Because Windhoek is going to constantly expand, and basically not just Windhoek, but pretty much every urban area. Wherever this service provision that is, or opportunities that are attracting, rural residents. Now, speaking as a professional former rural resident, I can tell you that.
By 5 years,
Yeah. 5 years, of experience, a rural resident.
Yeah.
Actually, my whole life is, rural resident. But the thing is, I think, the projection of the increase in urban population that we saw, through the 2023 NSA population statistics, that is actually true. And I think that is going to just increase the burden on infrastructure in the centralized places like Windhoek.
Yeah.
Yeah. So until we figure out the solution that speaks to decentralization, every governor is going to, to give speeches like, we have a lot of students that were not placed, and actually the number of learners have, actually the number of learners is larger than you know, than the number that we have for teachers. I mean, 55-1, that's not a teacher to learner ratio. That's something else.
Yeah, that okay, it's not chaos, but it does lead to some format of chaos in terms of discipline. It's also the workload.
Yeah, the workload becomes insane. I mean,
yeah, because one of the key things that we have to identify with planning, specifically with an education component. Obviously, Ministry of Education will be doing their thing because, like I said, yes, the governor took stock of his fellow citizens, his fellow residents in Windhoek and Comas. But, for example, he referenced the new school project that you started that you also cited. Mm-hmm. The new school project which... And yeah, this is my other example. Now I remember about Groothoop. So, remember, Groothoop is also a new project,
mm-hmm.
one of the new projects.
Yeah.
But Groothoop also will have, like at the start of his particular stock taking, new...
Hey, hang on a second. Mixed settlement is also in there.
Yes, we'll also have a new... Is one of the new, is one of the ones that also have a new school, basically. But Groothoop's scenario was that Groothoop's school will also get dedicated sports infrastructure. I remember he started off with the sports infrastructure thing as well. And then he later on cascaded into the education realm of things, taking stock of education facilities, the learner-to-teacher ratios, the unsuccessful placement of learners in the region who could not enroll for any parts of certain constituencies in the city. And when he got to Groothoop is one of those particular sort of like outlier aspects of this metropolitan area that should be a local authority by itself. I'll say it again, Helmut. Yes, he's the governor. It's a good thing the governor spoke. But the Windhoek Rural Councillor was there.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy that I know, that I worked with, that we had. We worked together at one stage before he, you know, got into his political career. And he's the guy that I keep bumping into, for example, like at Maroa Mall and then... Well, most of the times we've bumped into each other at Maroa Mall the most.
Mm.
And then we quickly have a candid conversation. Because every time I just ask him, hey, listen, man. I won't mention his name, even though many
What's
of you...
What's going on in this area? What's going on?
No, I'll just tell him how he's been doing. Because, you know, he jumped from a private sector, from a business owner, to now being a local councillor.
Mm.
Now, here's the funny balance for his particular part. That conversation we had yesterday about paying for services.
Yeah.
No, not yesterday. Where are we? Monday. No, today's Tuesday, right?
Yeah, yesterday was Monday. That
was
yesterday.
Yeah, Monday was yesterday. I'm just now trying to think about where we made the joke about the... Where the people said if it was yesterday or on Friday, you know, people will say, yeah, thank you for the tap.
Oh, no, that was yesterday.
Yeah, that was yesterday.
Yeah.
So, it's the same thing that... Because he's the one that keeps telling me, Dwight, my people tell me straight up they don't want to pay for services. Now, here's the thing, Hamoud. A place like Groothoop will have to become a local authority on its own. That's one of the first breakups that has to take place. Because you obviously have to manage resources. I told you the geographic challenge here. Yes, a pipe definitely can be laid on the ground, you know, with stilts and stuff to flow, to take water to a place like Groothoop.
Mm-hmm.
But Groothoop needs its dedicated service management center right there. Then, if you look at Groothoop, for example, and these informal settlements that he cited that are expanding, for example, like with Mix, those particular kinds of things will technically, which now connects into the challenges, mm-hmm. and the reason why I said the challenges should have been his first starting
should
point.
Should have started with the challenges.
Is that he cites, for example, that law and order is a challenge. Law and order, maintenance of peace in communities and so on. I would have loved it if he, in his challenges, and citing the challenges that the police specifically face,
that being city police and NAMPOL together, he would have gone into crime statistics. I wanted him to talk about crime statistics. Because if you come and tell me about a thing needs to be built, something is still in procurement phase, you know, it's technically feng shui. Namibian politicians, technically the governor was practicing feng shui. Feng shui is, dear listeners, if you go read up about it, if something happens, you blame everything else that is not alive. You don't blame the two humans. You blame everything else, like a chair, like the sunlight. The wind blew in my eye and a grain of sand scratched my eyeball and I couldn't see you, Helmut, and I accidentally slapped you and stuff like that, you know? You blame everything else. It's the wind that blew that day. Or it's a leaf that fell into the pond of water now. That's why everybody's got, you know, like severe, you know, running stomach issues. But if we really address the issues. Now, I know it's his first State of the Region address. If he's listening, the governor, as a trick next time, you're still a young guy, you can still take a few knocks as a politician on your, you know, on your chest. How about next year you start with issues and you actually contain crime stats? Because it doesn't help to tell me the police and city police are suffering from recruitment issues to do their job. And all you and I have to do is walk to this closest taxi rank, né? Mm-hmm. And we go ask the taxi drivers, what is your issue with the police?
You know,
besides obviously starting an argument right there. Yeah.
I'm going to start one really fast.
Yeah.
Look, I think one interesting thing now that you pointed out, the whole police thing is, you know, I'm going back to what I really zoned in like heavily, and that's, you know, the children placement, education, teacher learner ratio, and all that.
Yeah.
And now I'm thinking maybe this whole State of the Region address thing is not being given enough time. Because now I want to listen to, apart from, you know, and this is just one ministry, right? Ministry of Education. And he really zoned in the basic education. Okay, what's this ministry, no, what's going on in relations to higher education? What's going on in relations to other directorates of
and
that?
Higher education only had one, was it two points?
Yeah.
The one, the campus, the extension of the medical school at the campus, which is definitely a UNAM development. And then there was a second one, like a very vague one.
You know, those crime stats that you and I would love to put our hands on.
Yeah.
Now, if you're going to bring that up, I think you are going to need you are going to need more than 2 hours to shoehorn everything in.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you're looking at crime statistics, it's not just one take, for example, and I like, you know, crime statistics. I have had a conversation, I think once or twice with one sheriff. I just forgot that gentleman's name. And here's the thing.
A sheriff?
Yeah.
Don't we have... Are you sure it's not a NAMPOL person? We don't have sheriffs.
Okay.
Talking about sheriffs of the court?
No. Oh. This is someone in the security cluster.
Are you talking about Sean O'Dea?
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, one thing I like, you know, one thing I like...
He's not a police officer. Okay, but still.
Let's go with the title.
Let's go with the title. Okay.
You know.
He has the hat. I know. You know. It's a cool hat.
That's right. Anyway. One thing I like about, crime statistics is that... I like crime statistics because they have a way of taking you back to, because you'll always want to ask, what is the cause?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is the cause? Now, you have this type of crime. You have maybe you have break-ins, you have auto theft, or maybe you have your phone grabbings and all those things, or you have your scamming. All these things, you know, you need one giant database to basically analyze this to produce one, which will be one massive report. And which is why, Which is why I pointed out earlier that I don't think the, you know, the time the state of the region address is enough to address everything that's taking place in the region, especially if you're looking at it from what's happening in pretty much every ministry that we have in the country per region.
Mm.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, just one ministry. MESAC is one giant ministry. Now, picture the minister or the governor or anyone that's providing this information, just providing what's, you know, what MESAC is doing. Not just the education part. You know, you're talking about the arts and youth and everything. What's happening? And, of course, the best you can do is just sort of like gloss through all these issues, because you need a whole lot of time. And first of all, you have to gather that information. It's going to be a lot of information to gather.
Yeah.
I think this is where, you know, I think MESAC should be sort of like the great attractor of, or, you know, of pretty much every public entity that we have, to provide all this information to, you know, to the NSA. So the NSA can basically compile this information into separate reports. I think that would be much easier, because to stand, you know, before a crowd, if you are going to have a conference to address all these things, that conference is going to take the whole year.
It's also, it's not just the conference itself. It's also a thing, Helmut, of understanding the, you know, like with labor statistics.
Yeah. That's another thing.
Yeah, the labor statistics, which is like this thing that I went to yesterday, this STC on employment, labor, and social development.
Mm-hmm.
Social development, Helmut, is actually such a broad field that incorporates education, health, Ministry of Justice and Labor, basically. What's the other one's name? Home Affairs. Who else is there? There's another, and Ministry of Urban and Rural Development and Ministry of Fisheries, Agriculture, Water and Land Reform. And then you've got Ministry of Environment there as well. Now, I'm putting eight ministries into that broad template. Those eight ministries have to coordinate. Oh, yes. Boss of boss ministries. Ministry of Finance. Because they have to obviously dispense.
Yeah.
No, and even Ministry of Gender, Equality and
Children, you need money.
And Children's Welfare. So child welfare. So all these guys have to play a significant role at achieving social development for us Namibians, the Namibian society. Ne?
Mm-hmm.
What you can see from this broad thing, yesterday at that engagement, only two ministries were present. The executive director from Justice and Labor Reform and Labor Relations, that being Mr. Ben Angombe, and Gender and Child Welfare, Lydia Indombo. The two of them were present there. I didn't see the other executive directors representing the other ministries. Now, I keep leaving, to be honest, there's a reason why I keep leaving Office of the Prime Minister out. Office of the Prime Minister is just like a supervisor. Mm-hmm. There's no direct directorate. All these other ministries are technically the directorates of this office, the Office of the Prime Minister, even though the Office of the Prime Minister is the guy that is the office that has the disaster risk
management
directorate in it, or contained within it, because it responds to disasters. But I ask you once again, City of Windhoek is right here. Between OPM and City of Windhoek, who responds quicker to disaster? City of Windhoek. Who's got the fire brigade with the trained professionals? City of Windhoek. City of Windhoek's people, like their fire brigade people, are the guys that you would technically see working at the airport or Siakutako. Mm-hmm. Because those guys have got a fire brigade response team there as well. So you can clearly see City of Windhoek is at such a level versus all the other urban settlements in Namibia. Now, your plan, the one that you said about the Matei plan idea, but that's now you pitching it to Ministry of Urban and Rural Development to basically do such a plan. The thing that I'm looking at here, Helmut, is primarily how I saw, as I sat there listening to the governor, in preparation, obviously, for today. I sat there listening today to that whole video. I sat through that whole, I know you also sat through that whole hour and 40 minutes video. But as I sat there, I realized, but the governor is reporting on what ministers have already told us. ministries have already told us. And these are predominant, or City of Windhoek has predominantly told us about. Because part of this whole assessment forms part of the Smart City initiative, that that document that I could not get when they unveiled it, remember? Where the councillor told me, no, it's first, let's go to council, Dwight.
Mm-hmm.
Calmer, Dwight.
Relax.
Just relax. It first has to go to council. I'm like, now why are you launching something that council still needs to accept?
Yeah.
So, all of these particular things that you and I are assessing here is basically something has been weighed,
yeah.
Will be deliberated on, is assessed by the city council already. So, in essence, Comas region technically does not need a governor.
That's an interesting point. Why? It's a region like all others.
Yeah, because City of Windhoek already responds to most needs in the region. But you still need the region.
Because
we have got communal, rural communities.
Yeah.
We've almost not got that communal land area. I said in essence.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying we should not. I'm saying in essence.
In essence.
You look at the workload, who responds to what,
yeah.
Who's got the burden of what... developments to bring forward,
yeah.
To invest money, who sits with the money to invest, it's technically the city council. It's not the regional council. And you can technically see that Windhoek is sort of like a strategic, highly centralized power hub.
Isn't that part of our problem?
That is part of our problem. Because when I said just a few seconds ago, we technically don't need a governor's office or a regional council,
mm-hmm.
is primarily you realize that this the stock take that was done by the governor
mm-hmm.
is either two ministries or it's the city of Windhoek and a ministry. Because education, the expansion activities and the new planned activities... that would come from a Ministry of Education. That hospital was unveiled and launched by Ministry of Health. The other particular activities on social health developments
yeah.
is a Ministry of Health initiative. And obviously, City of Windhoek would just work in tandem with the ministry in that regard in terms of saying, okay, listen, fine, this is there, that service is here, you can do this, you can do that. But in many scenarios, you can see... Ministry of Health technically relies on a local authority to take charge or to be at the forefront of something, meaning they first have to connect services, erect the structure, and then the ministry can come and take ownership of their service or the, let's say, for example, like the dispensation, where the dispenser service.
Mm-hmm.
In many scenarios, Hamoud, and this is why I tap back into what I said a little bit earlier, the governor probably... has to tune up his report next year. Start with the challenges. Let's see how colorful that engagement will be. If you start with the challenges and the issues that have that you have taken stock of between now, July 2026, and May 2027 next year. Because his address came, I counted, 13 days after I went to the Smart City engagement in last month. The State of the Region address for Commerce came 13 days after you and after I went to the Smart City strategy that City of Windhoek unveiled. And this is the funny thing, Amun. When you and I did that discussion, we could take from the City of Windhoek level directly into the UN habitat level, we could see the correlation of the strategy.
Yeah. The like UN everything is trickling down from the UN.
Down into the lowest format, which is the lowest format of governance, which is the city council, which is the city of Windhoek. Nowhere did you and I see the governor. The governor didn't also even speak at that event, mind you. It's nothing bad, governor. It's just facts that I'm observing, that I'm bringing forward to discuss. The governor wasn't at that event, Helmut. Now, for a small part of his stock take to you know, highlight an envisaged smart city initiative, but then he goes and connects to the twinning agreements that the Comas region has. City of Windhoek has a twinning agreement with a city, Berlin, in Germany, but then the region of Comas has two twinning agreements, for example. One is with the, he mentioned the Russian one, Voivoda, in Siberia, of all places. Voivoda. And then the twinning agreement with, they kept mentioning Jiangsu, but the actual province's name where I was, remember last year, is Jiangxi. I don't know why the governor kept saying Jiangsu or Jiangsu. It's Jiangxi.
Oh, come on, man. We don't even know how to pronounce Oshomuise. You have no idea how many times I've laughed at people saying Oshomuise, Oshomuise.
Well, yeah,
don't butcher the language.
It's because they see an S.
It's Oshomuise. That's one thing. It's very poetic.
I know all my little friends will come beat me up.
You know what?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure a bunch of us also butcher Koreahab.
Yes. A lot of us butcher Vantuk's other name, Kayams. Even I'm busy butchering it with that scenario.
I don't even want to attempt that.
Look, saying Kayams, and I am literally butchering it, versus Kanes, which is Rebot's other name, is two completely different things. You'd hear someone say Kanes or Kanes. Two different cliques that I'm mentioning right
now. And you have things like what's this? Oshivarongo. Seriously?
Its name is technically, supposedly, at one of those sort of like genocide engagements before last year when the Remembrance Day came out.
Yeah.
What was the guy? The one guy, he explained that Oshivarongo's actual pronunciation should be Oshiwa.
Oshiwarongo. Yeah. It's like,
just. But it's not a W. It's not supposed to be a W pronunciation. Yeah. It's UA. It's like a UA. Flow through it.
It does sound like a beautiful place, a beautiful country or something.
Beautiful land or something.
Yeah, beautiful land. Something.
And it's not, it's like I told you the other day of what Khobabas is. Khobabas's actual name is and what Swakopmund's actual name is.
Yeah.
That, remember that session where I told you the two names? I couldn't mention Swakop's actual name. Anyone who's quick of up speaking will tell me, Dwight, you better not mention that name.
Don't ever try that again.
Ever. So I can't mention that name.
Yeah.
Because the best translation that I can give it to you will be in Afrikaans and it'll be even sound even worse. Khobabas's name, which is supposed to be Kwandabes. Marintal is supposed to be Tsarakhaibes, but, you know, if you know someone for the south, they know, they use these names of the places. It's only Kietmanshoop. Kietmanshoop technically was like, I don't know, this German guy, industrialist back in the 1800s, decided to bless, you know, because he financed the expedition to Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know what, since I'm your blesser, yeah, you can do whatever. And then the people are like, you know, we've got to name the small, humble settlement after our blessor of this expedition, and then Kietmanshoop got born. Kietmanshoop doesn't have another name, it's just Kietmanshoop.
That's interesting. So the twinning agreements.
We've got two regional twinning agreements.
Yeah.
It's between Comas, Jiangxi in China, Voivoda in Russia. City of Windhoek has a twinning agreement with Berlin in Germany.
Yeah.
Berlin obviously comes from its own principality or its own province. I think it's Brandenburg is Berlin's province's name. So City of Windhoek and Berlin have their own particular relationship going on there. I was hoping, and I was so disappointed in those people, because the Berlin mayor came to Windhoek last year at a time when I think I wasn't in Windhoek. Because, no. They never had a media day, now I remember. They never invited us to say, you know, listen, here's the things. Because I wanted to ask questions in terms of, look. Mayor of Windhoek, Mayor of Berlin. where are we taking this relationship? Because we can't just have relationships.
You sound like one of those.
What, those dating coaches?
Yeah, I mean,
who review relationships.
Now, one of those dating conversation of what are we?
Oh, of those, course, those guys that are fishing.
Yeah,
after the girl kissed him on the cheek.
So what are we?
Nah, I'd never be in that situation.
Yeah,
you never ask the "what are we" question. Ask straightforward.
No, there's not a single guy that will ask that question.
No, Helmut. Guys, we must. Since some of the ladies tell us we must take ownership of our decisions, ownership of your decisions.
To ask what are we?
No,
I'm not walking into that trap.
You don't ask that question.
Yeah.
You say so. I know I like you. So why am I giving dating advice, Yisro? I'm the single guy, Yisro. Well, what are we doing, Helmut? No. No.
The last thing you want is to take advice from anyone. I have to look up that city though.
Which one? Vojvoda.
Yeah.
You know almost how to spell it.
I'm trying to look it up because
isn't it a province? Because
I'm trying to look it up because the thing is, it sounds like is it Vojvod? I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right, but the word Vojvod means war.
Well, I didn't. It's the governor's pronunciation. He mentioned Russia. I was like, and then he mentioned Siberia, and I was like, oh. Okay.
But Siberia is enough. The thing about there are two places that I would love to visit in Siberia.
Yeah.
You have Lake Baikal, and that whole Tunguska thing. I hope it doesn't explode again.
Why would you want to go see Tunguska, Helmut? Isn't Tunguska like so far away from any civilization?
Yeah. It's Siberia is far away from any nearest civilization. Frozen civilization.
Yeah, basically on the tundra civilization.
Yeah, look, the Lake Baikal is the deepest lake and the deepest freshwater lake, and in winter it freezes so that you can skate.
It's Vologda Oblast.
Oh yeah, Vologda.
There's no place named like Vojvoda.
Yeah.
I heard Vojvoda, but why do people butcher names like this, Tochman?
It's Russian. Makes sense.
Okay, fair enough. In defense of the governor, fair enough, Helmut, fair enough.
Yeah,
but yeah, so it's Vologda Oblast, and it's not in Siberia.
Where is it?
It's closer to Saint Petersburg.
Oh.
Or the oblast right next to St. Petersburg. But yeah.
Twin.
So we've got that. I don't know what twinning agreements do. I really don't know. But then it's also like our colleague Helene went and discovered on her, excursion to China recently that Okahanja has a twinning agreement with another city, which is a smaller metropolitan of Shanghai.
What am I going to find? That Devondo has a twin city somewhere in Japan?
Maybe.
Jesus, okay.
Maybe. And that the concern was that,
I have heard the whole term twin city, but I never actually looked it up to find out what it means. Is it just the pure, swag, or does it have any social, cultural, or developmental?
In anyone's particular immediate
assumption,
yeah. It looks like swag.
It's got to be swag.
It's just swag. It's purely just to say there in Germany, we are working with our former colony's founding or first city. Only city. Well, anybody else in Namibia doesn't count as a city. Even though what Francisco from Ulwazi said, Walvis is a city. I beg to differ. I a biggie stand on that situation. I'm sorry, Francisco. But yeah. So It is purely swag, because here's the thing, Helmut. If you look at real tangible products, real tangible engagements, City of Windhoek 2 years, 2.5, no, 3 years back, engaged with an agreement with KWV, the German Development Bank, that's got an office here in Namibia.
Yeah.
Engaged with them through Ministry of, under the auspices of Ministry of Finance, to seek funding, or basically to a loan to not refurbish, but to do renovation work on the water reticulation infrastructure of the city.
Yeah.
That's direct. That's another German agency working directly with the City of Windhoek. Because it's a government-to-government engagement.
Isn't that just a very creative way of investing?
It is a very creative way of investing. I spoke to my sister before we walked in here. My sister says GIZ is crawling in Rehoboth. Apparently, the people look like inhabitants there as they're walking up and down the street. Because my sister said, you know, if you ask the question of what does a local council do, what are they up to? But yeah, the development agencies are technically more active in solving local problems and issues than what these local authorities were supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Now, there are two very clear scenarios like that. Obviously, from my exposure, for example, to like Jiangxi's particular prominence, not just historical prominence, yeah, but obviously commerce has that historical prominence as well. It's just we don't celebrate the history as well as what you would see in Jiangxi, which with its administrative capital being Nanchang.
Yeah.
If you try to find, okay, what can Windhoekers be proud of? Helmut, I don't want to watch. And to be all, in all honesty,
mm-hmm,
if you're just a bare basic consumer of a message, now, ask yourself the question. You and I obviously had to look at this in terms of what new dimension comes out of this. We had to approach this address by the governor from an academic purpose, for research purposes.
Yeah.
But if we try to look at this scenario, if you were just a basic consumer, you wouldn't have looked at this address, because you know City of Windhoek does most of the carrying work, or they carry most of the work, and you don't know in what capacity does the regional council actually respond to needs.
The information, basically, at least the way that it's laid out, that's why I like the blueprint of record keeping.
Yeah.
With regards to what the government is doing from central government ministries, you are looking at it from your executive offices to your ministries and SOEs.
Mm.
And I learned this through IPPR's literatures, because it's the way that the way that it's laid out. It's very simple. Take procurement plans, for example. Yeah. Every ministry and SOE have to make their procurement plans, but also after making those procurement plans for next year, for example, for the 2027-2028 financial year, they have to make those submit them to the Ministry of Finance before the end of the year, before the end of this year. Now, the thing is, before they don't just prepare everything in secret and then hand they are sort of like a list of the things that they would like to spend money on next year, and then just hand it to the ministry of finance, and the program and policy unit basically requires that before they do that, they have to take that information and also put it on their website, which is why all the websites, both the ministries and SOEs and executive office, the office of the prime minister and the president, are required to have procurement tab. Now, that's for democracy, transparency type of things. Now, as a Namibian, if you'd like to find out, okay, what is this ministry? What is this SOE? What are their procurement plans for the 2027, 2028 financial year, 2025, 2026 financial year? That's where you're supposed to find all that information.
Yeah.
Now, 2021, 2022, all the way to 2023, they did a very terrible job on that. IPPR compiled one heck of a procurement tracker that made for a sobering reading. I read that thing like 1,000 times. But now, my favorite part is even the Ministry of Finance itself that provided IPPR with that information, they failed to meet some of the requirements they are required to meet. Mm. And it's like, okay, look, I respect you guys. And by that, I mean the Ministry of Finance, because, I would have hidden the information, but you guys, what's the opposite of flying with, flying colors. You know, they failed with the crawling colors. And like they terribly failed, but they didn't wanna, act like tough in terms of making sure that that information doesn't go out there. Yeah. They just provided that information to anyone that came asking for that information, and IPPR was one of those. They compiled one procurement track on top of that. So that was for just a bunch of ministries and a bunch of SOEs, and which one of them submitted, and which one of them failed, and there are those that failed. There are those whose website weren't even functional.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the thing is, but things have improved since then. I looked, I think I can count about 5 ministries and websites that I've seen, especially the, especially the Ministry of Education. But I just visited them a little unhealthy amount, and Ministry of Finance, Ministry of Justice, and all that. So that information is made for everyone. Look, when you have events like the State of the Region address, or the President's speech, or the Minister of Finance speech next year during the budget unveiling, when that speech that the minister is giving, that was supposed to be, more of a summary of what happened, but we have all kept up with the procurement plans of all the SOEs and ministries to basically follow up what she's doing. Mm. Because that information, whatever that she's doing, now we did this and this and this and this and this, all those projects took place in different ministries, in specific ministries, in specific directorates. Now, for a lot of us, when the minister is doing the budget unveiling, that this year this is how much this is how much you spent, this year this is how much you spent, that's more like compiling all the figures, yeah. Because let's face it, she doesn't have the time to go through what every ministry and every directorate and every SOE spend their money on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's just compiling all the figures. This is how much was spent on this. This is how much was spent on this. But those are more like overall figures. If you want specific numbers over what was spent, how to put this, which ministry spent on, or which SOE spent, spend money on, you are supposed to find that on their website. And for a lot of them, especially, SOE, and for other SOEs that I also frequently visit, like the national broadcaster, they tend to have this information. And you know who is also very good at having that on their website? SADC. Top notch. Except SADC and African Union are terrible at one thing.
What?
The speech of the ongoing 49th session of the African Union going on, the first speech that I got from that event, because it started today, I had to get it from Economic Commission of Africa. I had to get it from UNECA because, just the time the speech was given, by the end of the speech, that speech document was on the UNECA website. It wasn't on the African Union website.
Are you talking about the PAP?
PAP?
The Pan-African Parliament.
No.
It's something else.
Yeah.
Because I know the PAP, guys.
Yeah.
There's
mud being thrown again.
I found that speech around 9 or 10 day in the morning.
Mm.
Yeah. But for African Union, it took me, I think those guys uploaded it, I think about, 2-3 hours before. Okay, guys, it's your event.
Mm.
But, different technology. But SADC, on the other hand, will just hold an event today, and it will take 2-3 days before you find that information on their website. I'm like, okay, sir.
Let it be.
What am I supposed to do with this?
Just let it be. I mean, SADC likes, and especially if it's about, what's the guy's name?
The executive secretary.
What's the guy's name, Tochman? What's the guy's name? The guy from Botswana. Mahosi. Oh, how do I?
Yeah,
pronounce it one.
Is it Ilya or Ilias? Mahosi. Anyway, so then, you know, much of the social media of Sadiq is about where he is and what event took place. Then you find at the event, if you go look at the date that's being shared there, the event happened 5 days in that direction. You're like, it's a look at these guys. 5 days. So the thing gets posted today. Ne? You see the post. You go see, okay, where was the event? 5 days that way. You're like, what am I supposed to do with this information 5 days ago? 5 days later, I in between Russia and not Russia, US and Iran has paused shooting at each other.
Yeah.
And suddenly now I have to deal with information that I can't use. So yeah, in some cases, you do see a scenario where how the information gets shared, like you said, with like the procurement track.
Okay, right there. Hold on. Just let me finish my story. As I was saying, I was... Oh, my man, you've been finishing your story for 10 minutes now. Even my tassies is getting warm. Just give more eyes. Anyways, long story short. Oh, hi. When you're talking, it's a short story long. Short stories turn long. Go best together with Tassenberg. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Ipurane ngendo wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukulile oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuwana konongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi totanjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora esatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile ko berewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Welcome back. 28 minutes left to the hour of 6. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. And where are we? Procurement tracker.
Yeah. So, if the procurement tracker is supposed to be like... No, not the procurement tracker. If the public procurement is supposed to be like this sort of like bedrock of activity of new developments, basically where the development economy of the government is invested in. Yeah, sure. You get to have a good indicator because... Even the regional council of any of the parts of Namibia would then also be able to trace what activities are happening in the region, even though they would be, let's say, based in the administrative capital, what's happening in the rest of the region, and they can track and trace through the relevant local authority that's present there in that jurisdiction.
Mm.
But just like you explained it, like we've also cited it before, things get tricky because primarily... you know, it's just things get submitted super late.
Sometimes things don't get submitted at all.
Yeah.
Like, I think when it comes to submitting those procurement plans, and some ministries and also is still struggling with that. Because sometimes they just gloss through the end of the year, like they're not supposed to submit something. Then you see just a bunch of people starting to scramble somewhere in early January.
Mm.
And you know that at the end of February, the new budget unveiling comes out.
And by February, we're already announcing new things.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody else is doing anything else.
Yeah, it's like, you know, was, those things that we at least, you know, did in school where you are doing, you know, you want to do your homework when the teacher is asking everyone else to submit.
Mm.
You know you have 10 questions. Come on, just how fast are you at writing?
Mm.
Yeah, well, it turns out, you know, it happens in school when you're a kid. Happens in the office when you're a minister. We're not getting a job in public office, are we?
You might in Divundu. But yeah, when we look at the scenario now. Wait, let me open up my document. There was something else I wanted to cite also just before the ad break as well.
Yeah.
Because it also stems from some of the key things that I also looked at. So if we already looked at impacted areas, which looked at like some of the core aspects. Now, getting into another dimension, which for me, I did not believe this was like a core thing to report on, even first, like in the first few paragraphs of his particular address. I didn't believe that sports facilities or the erection or the clearing or the debt swapping for more land made available for sports facilities discussions is technically in sort of like in the parameter, in the purview of what the governor should have reported on.
You're forgetting something here, Dwight.
What?
He's a governor.
Yeah, he's
it's
a governor.
It's politics. You have to understand that you have to address certain demographics.
I know.
So you can't just, you know, give a speech on education because the youth will be like, so what about us? So you have to include them somewhere in there. Like, you know
yeah,
what?
This series is taking
place at least investment and implementation wise in terms of, you know, the creative sector and this taking place in sports.
But how many of the youth technically would say, I want to go and play football on a school's pitch just for the sake of it? If you know that, and just an example of you and myself,
yeah.
When we were way younger, and I'm talking about between 15 and 25,
yeah.
We had different needs. The need at that stage was not about having access to a sports field.
No.
The need wasn't having access to a sports field. The need at that stage probably was like, eish, what am I going to eat for lunch?
Yeah.
Or, you know, who should I bother? Specifically, I'm talking about some, you know, somebody's daughter.
who
should I bother?
Wait, at what age?
I'm talking about between 15 and 25.
Oh, yeah. Age. No, that was...
You know, you would have different priorities, different needs set up in that scenario. Obviously, when we look at now, this is now 2026, people obviously want to drive certain, you know, core concerns.
Yeah.
But let's look at the sports facilities for what they are, firstly. Now, sports facilities are recreational facilities.
Yeah.
But they're not recreational spaces per se. Remember when I interviewed that town planner last year, talking about recreational spaces?
Mm.
And in that discussion that I had with that town planner was that she outlined, you know, the description or the need for recreational spaces is something that the community has to identify what they want. Now, which community was identified for the debt swapping for extra land around Independence Stadium? Who? Who was consulted?
Any of the consultations conducted that I, at least that I'm not aware of.
So, in such a scenario,
yeah.
Now you have to ask, okay, City of Windhoek, oh, not City of Windhoek, sorry. Independence Stadium is owned by the Ministry of Sport, is owned by MASAC.
Yeah.
Independence Stadium is not an asset owned by the regional Council of Commerce. It's an asset. Of Ministry of it's the Ministry of MASAC.
Yeah.
It's their asset. It's not the regional council's asset. The Sam Nyoma Stadium is in through proxy. The Sam Nyoma Stadium in Karatura through proxy is an asset of the regional government. Primarily because it's City of Windhoek's asset.
Mm.
But here's the concerns, right? In the governor's address, we don't know how long it will take to get both these facilities in tip-top shape, in, or in your word, top-notch shape, primarily for...
Like for use?
For use by the sports, the interested sports stakeholders. We, you know, in part of the visuals that they showed there in his address, they cited that Karatura Community Youth Center that also has a sport, that also has a field aspect to it. Now, if you wanted a youth, a piece of youth infrastructure, why not make that thing into a top-notch shape? Invest in that thing. Put in certain particular sports facilities and services and features for that specific facility. The others are purposeful. They have a purpose that they have to provide. Yes, the governor bragged about Comas region's athletes and its performance. Yes, because they need the independent stadium.
Yeah.
But you did not hear the governor brag about football in the region. You didn't hear him football because where were these guys playing?
Maybe that's why we have to revamp up the sports field. But the thing is, I think the problems we have in terms of development is these are typical problems for a typical developing country. Every issue that you are going to look at will keep bringing you to one place.
Yeah.
Infrastructure first. You can say much about the provision of this and that service, but you can't do any of it without the right infrastructure, and you can't do any of it without the right expertise.
Mm.
And in this case, especially at least in terms of when the governor was talking about all those projects, especially in basic education, what I kept thinking about, especially when it comes to new projects, was what the Minister of Education said the other time about the high, you know, number of graduates being produced that are majoring in lower primary.
Mm.
Yeah, and now the problem that we have now that presents a little bit of not an issue, but sort of like shows to me some degree of coordination taking place. Because a few months ago, was that last year or the year after last, this is a national a problem, especially in relations to graduates struggling to find jobs. So teaching graduates, at least those that that are graduates in the field of education in lower primary with lower primary teaching qualifications. We're told by the Minister of Education that, one major issue that we have here is that we have a large number of graduates that are studying education, that are graduating, and congratulations, except they're graduating in the fields that, is already, clustered up. Now, what we need is a little higher on the education, ranks in terms of a categorization from a lower primary, upper primary to high school. So when the governor was talking about, there are new schools being set up, there are those that are, that are being expanded, especially when he started talking about the teacher to learner ratio. I was like, okay, you know what, at least on this one, we can't say that we don't have enough teachers, because one thing that we have seen is that we have a lot of graduates that graduated in the field of education. So if you can just they will jump to that opportunity. And let me walk you through the inventory, not the SADC one. I don't know why I'm obsessed with SADC at this point. Pardon moi. Right, you have 10 basic education capital projects that are currently underway in the Comas region with a combined value of over 200 million. Now, you have, among some of these projects are taking place, especially from an expansion. We start with expansion, and then we get to those ones that are being built from the ground up. Basically being established, new schools being established. You have Michelle McLean Primary School, that's expansion. Is it Greenleaf? Or I you know, maybe you know, I missed the pronunciation, so I just wrote leaf there. So if you go to that school or teach at that school or your kids go to that school and you think I butchered the name, don't wait for me at the gate. And there's also France Indongo, Hillside, Van Rijn, Pioneers Park, Van Rijn and Pioneers Park. So this is where basically expansion is taking place. And you have the new ones that are being built from the ground up. New primary school constructions, new primary school that are under constructions. There are new primary school constructions going on at one, mixed settlement, and you have Shomuite and Korea Hub. And you have five new basic education capital projects. This is the part that made me go, it's a good thing I'm not the one, planning all these things, because we're in July and, the midterm budget review comes in October and things are still in procurement. Okay. The pressure is getting worse. The five basic education capital projects, when you hear capital projects, just think tender. You have five new basic education capital projects that are under procurement for the 2026-2027 financial year. Mind you, we are mid-2026, actually way past mid, just a little bit past mid. July is the seventh month. So 2026-2027 financial year worth of 153 million Namibian dollars, including a new primary school in Havana, Kahanja Park, and Kleina Kupe. And you have a new, also a new special school that is being built to the tune of $17 million. So, I really zoned in this one because I kept thinking what the minister, said about, a lot of graduates being produced. A lot of graduates that are being produced that are graduating with the education qualifications, especially lower primary, that don't have jobs. So, and then the governor also pointed out at the very wide gap of teacher to learner ratio. I mean, let's just make it 40, because he said 45 to 55 to 1. So let's just make it 40 to 1. Just let's fight the median. So 40 to 1. That is you don't have to be an education expert to know that we are in desperate need of more teachers to make the workload much easier in terms of balancing the teacher to learn ratio, and the expansion of the existing schools and the building of new schools from the ground up, for me, pointed to possible opportunities for those that of you that were, marching with a poster saying, "Hey, unsuk werk," and the minister told you, when you graduate me, by the primary school, my Afrikaans just went bananas on that one.
But I'll send you an Afrikaans audio and then I'll ask you, Helmut, translate that.
You want the whole Namibia to go to, to have.
Well, I interviewed the guys and it was a two minute audio, so we will see what you discern.
One joke I used to make with my, Damara friends in Arandis was, my Afrikaans is very fluent when I'm whispering. The problem is when I speak loud, then everything goes dear my car.
I think that's everybody.
So it's not just me.
I think that's everybody.
Minus the Prime Minister.
Now,
I was just looking at the possible opportunities. At least that's how I'm translating the expansion of existing schools and the construction of new ones, and the expansion of new schools, the construction of new ones, and the wide gap between the teacher to learner ratio. That all these things are pointing to me to our desperate need of teachers, of new teachers in the classroom. And if there's one thing that we know by now, at least from the protests that we have seen from education graduates, is that we have a lot of teachers that could use these opportunities.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now, what I'm just looking forward to is the picture, at least that's going to be in terms of emphasis and focus on on projects that's going on in other regions, because we're gonna go with we're still going to go into a lot of state of the region address that have taken place in other regions. So it's just good to sort of like understand what is going on in your region, and this information is public. It's on the website of pretty much, at least I'm assuming it's on every website of every ministry, SOA, and executive office.
No, it didn't look that extensively, but we obviously have to see that each regional council has its own particular role to play.
Yeah.
But I have a philosophic, well, it's not technically philosophic because it does dabble its toes in the politics of the affair. Helmut, I sometimes try to understand specifically why we've got these separate structures taking place primarily. Remember back to 2024 when we looked at Karas's State of the Region address.
Yeah, I remember that.
The
one.
Dispute that the
governor didn't want to attend.
Former governor had to mention or had to point out specifically about the chairperson of the regional council who was not in attendance,
yeah,
were some members of the council.
Yeah.
And it's such a particular philosophic dimension that I'm also bringing into this discussion, because primarily if we've got needs as residents of a region,
mm-hmm.
you vote for the person that came and canvassed for these votes, right?
Yeah.
But in many scenarios, for example, like I could immediately showcase to you, specifically like in the Comas and Windhoek relation, Comas and City of Comas region and City of Windhoek's relationship. Why do we have this regional authority in the city? Because primarily you can see it's the city that does everything for the region. The city provides the needs in many cases for rural communities around it.
Mm.
The city primarily is a major economic driver for the rest of the country. The city absorbs commuter employment from two regions, from Ochotonjupa that way and from Hartab that way. And it's not even to say that Rehoboth and Okahandja are administrative capitals of their respective regions. No,
they're not.
That point that you made, which was a very good point, you know, the Matei plan idea,
mm-hmm.
you know, taking the decentralized. Taking some some highly centralized pressures of Windhoek and then putting them in Otjiwarongo and Hartab. But here's the problem. Windhoek is closer for Rehoboth than Marintali is for Rehoboth. Windhoek is closer for Okahanya than Otjiwarongo is for Okahanya.
Yeah.
So now, are you going to drive that 150 Ks to Otjiwarongo just to go and commute?
Not a chance.
Where you had the benefit of 60 kilometers this direction?
Yeah.
Or will you do the same for driving that almost 110, 120 to Marintal?
So it's a close proximity discussion.
It's a close proximity discussion.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that Comas should probably absorb these two particular closer urban centers, but they do have distinct attributes and characters and characteristics to themselves. Now, the reason why I keep hammering on the potential breakup of Windhoek into smaller metropolitan areas for it to manage itself better is look at Groothoek. Helmut, every time I drive past here, down south, you can't see Groothoek from the main highway, you've got to take a turn off.
No, yeah, no, you can't.
There's a turn off that you take.
Yeah.
But Groothoek probably needs its own core investment. And Groothoek really needs to be a town. Groothoek should not be an extension of Windhoek. It cannot be. It has its own name by nature. I cannot vote. You should not be able to vote for people in Windhoek here. If Groothoek is a different location, if Groothoek is a completely divorced, and I mean it's what, 20 kilometers away? No? 10? No. No, it is 20 kilometers. It's considerably far.
close to 15 kilometers away. That's how far Grootop. Now, what are we doing here? We have to respect if the region really wants its true features to come out, its true nature, its see its potential happening. I really think we need to re-strategize in terms of how this a region like Comas takes things forward. Now, the core concern is that the governor cited, for example, on services and service delivery for the communal land area, because a communal board still has to be established by the Ministry of Agriculture. And obviously this means there's a traditional authority present there with its traditional leader. When we look at that particular dimension also in this whole makeup of the identity of Comas region, we have to ask the question also of, okay, what is this supposed to serve, this traditional authority? Because remember, this traditional authority has a small fraction of the overall surface area of what we know as Comas region. It's a small fraction. Yes, our colleagues got lost. Fair enough. Not mentioning names here live on air. But it's where it is, this particular traditional authority. When we look at this particular aspect, now we have to ask the question, should City of Windhoek extend services there? Or will something be done for them? Well, okay, you've got Mr. Development on the other side here of Havana, then that Ongos Valley, which is another particular urban scenario, which technically, if you look at it, boxes Western expansion of Windhoek in, because it boxes it in. Technically, Windhoek is boxed in because of that Danfuyun nature reserve. But the reason why I am sort of like citing this prophecy that Windhoek has to become manageable for its own needs is because Windhoek has to understand you either re-strategize where you find yourself, and for example, like the discussion of Ulwazi of yesterday, or we start looking at like Poly Heights developments. And today I even drove past that one building that Francisco mentioned, the De Beers building, here in Auschwitzplatz. It's close to another tall-ish structure known as the Marinsky Tower, which is technically the street's name. And we need more of such particular developments, Havmut, if City of Windhoek wants to meet affordable housing. Now, remember, I sent you that video of what Berlin is doing. If City of Windhoek has to learn from its twinning partnerships, fly to Berlin and ask Berlin, what is local procurement doing to provide local content policy, the freedom, the creative freedom to bring solutions to actual human needs? It's a hypothesis. You can see the hypothesis flow. The hypothesis shouldn't be something as airy-fairy as a smart city and all of us
Windhoek should know.
What is a smart city? Please, what is a smart city? It should be a logical proposition that you can lay forward, you can motivate, you can defend if attacks happen, meaning, you know, like intellectual attacks happen on your idea. And you should be able to also motivate and say, listen, guys, this is for the improvement of everyone's lives. This is for the betterment of everyone's lives. The reason why I keep pointing towards structures in terms of vertical development versus structures of like horizontal expansions and developments is because you can see we will be boxed in, Helmut. We will be boxed in. So we are, in many cases, we are already boxed in.
So in a few years, we're going to be going through, you know, what NUST is going through.
What? What is NUST going through?
Like NUST?
Oh, like, buying up those houses.
I mean expansion-wise.
Yeah, but NASMUS has to spend money to buy those houses and properties around them.
Yeah, that's because they are boxed in.
Because they are boxed in.
Yeah.
Now, it's a wonderful idea. That's if you have an open checkbook. We know such a thing doesn't exist in the developing world.
No, we don't.
Technically have a checkbook with a chain and ball attached to it, which says be grounded in your ambitions.
Yep.
So, it's a wonderful idea. Than the NAS template, it is a disjointed idea.
Dwight.
Yeah.
You know, when now that you brought up the whole, okay, there are 2 points that are, there are 2 points that you made. I wanna build on. One is the is basically the Matei plan reference.
Yeah.
The second one is the whole Twin City. Twin City. Well, I don't know. One thing I know is that between 2021 and 2025, not Namibia, SADC made plans on how to solve. Okay, they asked themselves one question: how can we solve this water problem that we're having? In terms of of giving people access to water and sanitation, but their main focus was water, and they came up with a wonderful 5 years plan
to achieve that goal.
To achieve that goal,
yeah, that's it's why it's a policy.
Very wonderful 5 years plan.
It's a policy, Amut.
Guess who had to finance it?
Yeah, the EU.
Yeah,
yeah, I know. We always run to the EU.
Okay, why come up with a plan,
and you don't have the money for it?
Yeah.
So why did we establish SADC in the first
place? I mean, it's like, some of my homies telling me, okay, you know what, help me with this amount of money. I'm like, dude, I also don't have money. Like, I mean, what are you spending your money?
But even if you had the money, you would have said, no, dude, I don't have the money.
I know that. But look, the thing is, but, what you hear more, or what I hear more often is, what do you spend your money on? You're not even married. I'm like, dude, I didn't tell you to get married.
Yeah.
Why are you making
it? And why is it your issue if I'm not married or not?
I decided not to get married so I can chop my money. You got married.
And your money is being chopped. That's your issue.
Look, man, do you make your problem mine?
What's that famous meme? I always see it with ladies. Ladies always put it on their WhatsApp. Just because I told you I don't have money for you, does not mean I have money. I don't have money for me.
Okay, so I'm broke for you, but not for
and not for me.
Yeah, like look, see, SADC made a 5 year plan. On how to solve the, SADC's water issues. It ran from 2021 to 2025 and costed the EU 1.9 billion Namibian dollars. And you know what happened? After the end of that 5 year term, to this day, we're still pausing to the EU to extend it, I think, to 2034. To extend it to 2030. So when we said we want a vision 2030, we made an economic vision to 2030, but we want someone else to come and finance it. And
but
you know,
in actual sense, it needs to be extended probably by 2035.
And you know what's my favorite plan? My favorite point of view on this?
Yeah.
When some power hungry EU, American, or Chinese, or Russian leaders come and start to sort of move your political chess pieces, start influencing your policies. You start complaining. Dude, if you don't want people to influence your domestic affairs, don't let them pour their money in.
Yeah, be resilient.
Yeah.
Be resilient yourself.
Because if you are going to say yes to every check that's coming, every check is going to come with strings attached.
Or it'll come with some conditions, which are those strings, which you won't be comfortable with.
Yeah.
You won't like it.
How many times do I have to point out, guys, that if you as an individual, you buy one beer for someone and you want to take them to your house, just one beer. That's less than $100. So you want someone to spend millions of dollars in your country and not expect anything in return. You can't be that naive.
Amut, that beer is a bad
idea. That's my excellent example.
You're giving people away, people have strategy.
That's because, you're going to go to jail. go with pizza and KFC. Now, Okapana, because no one is getting drunk. So, because, You get drunk and things happen, you'll find yourself explaining to the police.
That is true.
Yeah, that is true. And you're going to be doing that explanation not only... you're going to be doing the explanation in English. and English is not your first language, and you can barely remember what happened because, well, of that beer. That's a lot of deadly combination. Anyway, now the Matei plan. In the beginning, you know, when I brought up the Matei plan in reference to the influx of of urban population, especially in Windhoek. Mm. You did mention that the benefits that are coming from this influx in population, because especially if you look at it from a consumer point of view, because the more people you have, the more your grocery stores, your clothing stores, and all the more customers they're gonna have.
Yeah.
So that decentralization will also have some kind of obviously a negative economic effect in terms of how many people are able to access all these stores to get access to their project. To get access to their product in terms of buying them. But that's not much of a big problem, because all they just have to do is expand their services to the regions. And problem solved.
Which has happened, which is why between 2015 and up until now, you saw, for example, like small towns and towns starting to have like shopping malls for the first time.
Yeah.
Or technically like a shopping center, because a shopping mall is slightly more indoorsy, and a shopping center has got that massive like need for a parking and parking space for the cars. The concern has been, from what we see, is that you don't see much of like local Namibian business initiative then sparking on from such particular developments.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why am I mentioning this? Well, a case in point, that new shopping center here in Okahania, that shopping center, as you enter into Rehoboth, it's dominated by South African businesses,
mm-hmm.
and maybe one or two large Namibian enterprises.
Yeah,
I say one or two. Because it could be an estate-owned company or it could be a private company.
Yeah.
Such scenarios, Helmut, does not really cascade into the rest of the town. Yes, it provides employment. Yes, it provides a spending, a consumer activity for many of the inhabitants of the town, because they don't have to drive to Windhoek.
Mm-hmm.
But the inhabitants of that town also realize there are certain services or products that they are technically being not denied, but it's not being brought to them. So now they have to spend that extra $200 just to take, put petrol or diesel into their car, or pay for transport from wherever they are to Windhoek to come and buy the thing that they've seen here that is only in Windhoek.
Yeah.
Now, a funny thing is also now with that. The broader aim in some cases is usually to try and get development brought forward by the private sector. The private sector is not the guy who will go and build the tar road and the pavement and the storm drain that takes away rainwater or surface rainwater during a rainstorm,
mm-hmm.
or goes and lays the necessary infrastructure down. That's not what the private sector will do. The private sector, yes, they will be part of the local procurement in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking about the other private sector that technically serves a consumer. For example, the retail private sector.
Mm-hmm.
The retail private sector, what they need to know is, firstly, did that local authority invest in the basics? If it's there, top notch, or everything's good, we're good to roll.
Yeah.
If it's not there, they will wait until that procurement happens.
You remember the urban and rural development minister addressing the newly elected, local authority.
I have to go listen to that guy's speech again.
Now I'm combining what the James Sankwasa said in Arundu in the beginning of the year while addressing the newly elected councillors. There are financing avenues that you can do on your local level, as long as you just go through the Minister of Urban Rural Development and Minister of Finance
as
long as they know about it. Yeah. To make sure you are not pulling a Mozambique on us. So, because believe me, that's entirely possible.
I thought Senegal is the new joke now, Helmut, not Mozambique.
But
Mozambique was, they were technically trying to hide the thing.
You're right. And it's, actually, Senegal is Mozambique Pro Max. And now,
It's not a smartphone.
As long as just the central government is aware of what's going on. They can actually guide you and help you, basically make your life easy in terms of accessing this finance. Mm. You have that part now. So now, as a constituency councillor, after getting out of that engagement, the first thing I would say is, okay, Honourable Minister, what are the conditions and how can I do this?
Yeah.
But then you run into problem like your that guy that you keep referencing, keep saying about the people in his area not being able to pay for services. And we have, and I don't think that's just a problem that he is facing.
Mm.
I think that's that's a nationwide, if not a continental-wide problem, especially on a rural level.
Mm.
You will run into a lot of people that you basically have to explain to how the urban convenience that comes, that is associated with service provision, have to be kept up. You have to pay for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The convenience can come. And they are exactly that, conveniences. And they're wonderful. But you have to pay for them.
Mm.
Yeah. Now, because as a, as a constituency councillor, the last thing I want is to go and borrow money without first figuring out how am I going to pay it back.
Yeah.
Because if no one is paying, you'll find it very hard to pay that money back. Because yes, you'll bring that, whatever amount of money that you think is needed for electrification and, water sources installation, for your entire constituency.
Mm.
Now everyone has access to electricity. Everyone has a tap, or they have a water running in their houses. They have ablution facilities and that. And now you tell them to pay for those services so you can recoup that money and pay it back to where you got it from.
Yeah.
And they start asking, well, we didn't ask you to go and borrow this money unless you now have to start with consultations. And we all know what people are going to say once you tell them the convenience that comes with the money that you're going to borrow.
Yeah.
They'll be like, just borrow the money. We're going to pay it. And then you borrow the money, make all kinds of investment, and all of a sudden they're pulling their feet.
It's... Look, I don't have an answer there for bad accounting.
It's a...
auditing, basically.
I know it's a conundrum because even if you as a constituency councillor and you want, you have these engagements that's going on, and you had the Minister of Urban and Rural Development, you really want to explore that option of financing as a constituency yourself, accessing that finance that can help you as a constituency councillor to finance your own local development needs. And the Ministry of Urban and Rural Development and Ministry of Finance helps you to acquire that financing.
Yeah.
The question if you first have to answer before you even go to the Minister of Urban and Rural Development and Finance is, how am I going to pay this money back? And more often, if you're talking about service provision, the natural answer, or more like, it's by design. You're supposed to recoup that finance from the services that you're providing.
Mm.
Now, if the people are telling you that, well, here's a river. Thank you very much for the tape in my house, but here's river. I've known this river.
Me and this river, we are best neighbors.
Yeah, and did I mention it's free?
Yeah.
So now you are sitting there with one giant problem. You borrowed money from an institution, and I think before you even get to borrowing, you'll have a hard time, accessing that finance. I'm pretty sure the Minister of Urban and Rural Development will ask you that question.
Mm.
How are we going to make this money back? The first one will be, how much are you planning on borrowing, for what, and how are you planning on making it back? Because these are the very three financially basic things that you first have to sort out before going out to borrow money.
Yep.
And the Ministry of Finance is most likely than not going to ask you the exact same question. The institution, whether it's local, regional, or international that you are going to ask that money from, is most likely than not going to ask you the exact same question. Now, if you are already dealing with the issues of the people that you are providing the very basic, central government funded, service provision initiatives, and they are not paying for those ones, what makes you think if you go with private finance, those things are going to be paid for?
The first thing is, that's the reason why I started with a place like Grootop.
Yeah.
Needs to be its own town council. Needs to be its own village council.
Mm-hmm.
When I said that, Helmut, it's because let's look at the burden of responsibility.
Yeah.
For example, in Grootop's case, Grootop would then be able to have more councillors and to have its own council.
Mm-hmm.
Not to have I'm sorry for that guy that I know. Not to have a satellite councillor having to drive up to Windhoek every time for meetings here. No. You have your office. You have a council chambers right there.
Yeah.
And engagements take place right there. You are close to the community you serve. And what there is, ever since I now started engaging in this information dissemination landscape of Namibia,
mm-hmm.
we are not learning from trying to correct certain particular directions that Namibia wants to take. For example, we still sit with regions, for example, and I'm not expanding this, but we will get to that region, for example, Omaheke, in future or in the coming days when we look at its state of the region address.
Mm-hmm.
But when we look at, for example, like something like Comas needs more industries taking place, and one of the measures in terms of trying to deal with potential lack of youth, or activities for the youth. The governor started with that address, started his address with the announcement of the backyard gardening initiatives and training, and
that
how
thing,
much and
that
how
thing
much
still money, gets me laughing.
And how much was being done, and then just a little bit later in the address, he then speaks about the vulnerable people and the people living on the streets of the city, and in some cases you can clearly see. But this is a particular incentive or an initiative whereby we need to have, for example, shelters across the city. Now, where I stay, Helmut, here in Windhoek West, there's a guy close to one of the shops there. I won't disclose where I stay by showing off the shop or mentioning the shop's name. But there's a guy there But there's a guy there who basically begs outside of that shop, and he says he goes to a shelter in Kommersdal, from Windhoek West to Kommersdal.
Yeah.
If anybody knows, Kommersdal is pretty much disconnected from Windhoek West and Windhoek North and Dorado Park because of the, not just the river that's there, but how the roads were also built. You can clearly see the divide, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because it's not as connected to Windhoek, this Windhoek West part that ends, that is like the border region of.
I mean, you literally also have your B1 running in between.
Exactly, so B1 also divides Kommersdal literally from Windhoek North, Windhoek West, and so on.
Mm.
Now, when we look at such particular physical features, you can see it's mobility, urban mobility starts becoming a major factor in such discussions. Now, I know he's a guy who lives basically on the street.
Mm-hmm.
Every time he potentially sees me or one of the other customers, he asks for $5 or $1 and stuff like that. And you try to do your part. But since we have so much of this conversation, I can see every time specifically what undernourishment or lack of adequate access to healthy food, a healthy diet. The things that we spoke about in the food and agriculture report last week, yeah. You know, healthy diet, adequate diet, affordable diet, which should be one of the particular things. And then you ask yourself, why haven't we seen like, not good Samaritans, but the council, because the council is the one that represents Van Duyk's residents. Why haven't we seen the council come up with a drive for soup kitchens across the city in every scenario, providing drinking water, at the ability for many of these particular people that live on the street to wash themselves, to have good hygiene, and if possible, if it's a full proper shelter, for them just to sleep there for the night. A soup kitchen,
yeah,
and a shelter.
Doesn't that take us to the Minister of Finance and that lady from an NGO that asked about why some of the shelters are associated with the housing of those, you know, basically fleeing from domestic violence? Why were they not operational for the better half of that particular year, both the 2023 or 2024?
Okay, in that defense, that's the only time I'll defend the government in many scenarios. I mean, that's the only time I'll defend them in many scenarios.
Yeah.
I will defend former Minister Shimi right there as well.
Yeah.
He was right to give that kind of response, even though it looked to any particular person as a political response that he gave. But he actually gave a very realistic response.
Yeah.
He basically said, I am not in charge of what the other ministry decides on what they want to focus on.
Yeah.
Now, Helmut, Van Duyk is an exception. Van Duyk is an exception. Van Duyk is not Marintal.
Mm-hmm.
Van Duyk is a powerhouse on itself. Van Duyk, like I have said many times before, that even the councillors and the mayor of Van Duyk have said before, is that Van Duyk also subsidizes the development budgets of other local authorities across the country.
Yeah.
So Van Duyk is an exception.
I think that's the price we are paying for the centralized everything.
That is the price we are paying.
Yeah.
And it's the price that, which I've also realized that many Van Duyk residents don't really take notice of. You know, the other day they shouted in terms of, why is Kleine Cooper seeing X percentage increase in water and services? And Koreanghab on the other side is seeing X percentage, and it's a stark difference. Well, guys, come on. If you look at your property value versus that property value, then you obviously get to smell the coffee early in the morning. No one needs to spell it out for you. I'm really trying to contain my sarcasm as well. But in many cases, people don't realize that from Van Duyk West and Dararo Park this way to Van Duyk East,
Sorry
for the distortion. Sorry, Helmut, for your ears. All residents this side, you are paying for all residents that side. From Comasdal to Karatura to Ochumise to Havana, you name it, to Rocky Crest. You are technically subsidized. You residents here from Kleine Cooper to where, you are subsidizing the other residents of your own local authority. It's a straightforward thing, Helmut.
Mm-hmm.
I know. It's democracy on an ugly note, because if you really wanted people to pay the same rate, here's the issue that the council would have faced.
Yeah.
The council would have faced a let them eat cake in Karatura and Havana. If the residents there had to pay the same service prices, the same prices as a resident in Avis or a resident in Kleine Cooper.
Yeah.
Now, you can clearly see what's the balance here. You put a price tag for those to pay that can pay the bigger price. Let them pay that. And you accommodate the other residents in terms of, you tell them, you guys also pay something, but we don't have much confidence in you actually paying it. We don't have much confidence.
You don't have to have confidence.
But here's the downside,
Just Helmut. Look at the numbers.
But here's the downside, Helmut. That same concern that friend of mine cites from Groto is the same concern that persists even in Karatura. There are residents, unfortunately, that don't want to pay for their services. I'm not at liberty to share certain particular aspects, but there are rumors of some guys who own ridiculous amounts of money.
Yeah.
But then that's not from the Comestal heading that direction. And, I mean,
Again, this is why I keep, that's why every time that I think about Jim Sankwasa's speech earlier this year, I keep trying to at least my best to put myself in my, in the shoe of a constituency councillor who is really sort of like trying to put in the effort for development. And we try to tell politicians that, well, we voted for you, you promised this and this and this, and you should stop making promises you can't keep, you don't have money for. And so now, after making all those promises, after genuine developmental concerns.
Yeah.
And you run into people, because you live in your localities, you run into people that are telling you that, okay, we have this and these things that are needed for development. We have this and this that are needed. I think the question that I'll be asking them, I'll just call the whole constituency for one heck of a conference. Like, okay, this is how these things work. Mm. I'm not saying that you can't understand this. I'm just doing this for for democracy. Think of it, as a consultation. As a councillor, I can work through the Ministry of Urban Rural Development and Ministry of Finance to get us any, to try at least, don't promise people. Yeah, to try and, secure funding for this and this and this and these things that we need. But we can't get that money just out of from a good Samaritan who will give us a free. The financial avenues available are, we can borrow at least. Mm-hmm. Now, if we can, if you guys need that, we'll need the money. And I know may have, thrown a few lies in your face. I don't have the money to finance all the promises that I made.
Yeah.
Now, but there are financing avenues available. We can do that. The thing is, are you going to be able to pay for those services for us to recoup that money back to service that debt?
No.
And
let me just correct myself, Helmut.
Uh-huh.
There is a Jiangsu province with a Jiangxi province as well.
Oh.
And the Jiangsu one is obviously where medical professionals also will be in a observational fellowship from Namibia to there. So, just correcting myself. Don't worry, guys. We sometimes correct ourselves.
Yeah.
Well, it's very important.
There are two.
To stay accurate. The one I went to is Jiangxi. That's the one I know that Comas and that province have a twinning agreement.
Uh-huh.
That's why I couldn't understand why the governor was saying a twinning agreement with Jiangsu. But I know that Jiangxi and Comas have a twinning agreement.
So we have multiple cities in China that...
provinces in China.
Provinces.
Yeah. But remember
hang on a second. So it's Namibia and a province? Just Comas and a province?
It's Comas and a province. But because
I just have one. How many people does one of these provinces have? I'm just curious.
Okay, let me get into the overview here on Wikipedia because I'll be embarrassing ourselves.
No. Let's see how twinny we are.
We've got 500,000 in the city.
Yeah.
So Jiangsu's population. Where's this population? They should Jeez. Say. Yeah, it's pretty big. Yo.
I know one city ranging in millions.
This is the province, dude. 84 million?
We can't even fit in the 4 million out of the 80.
Yo. This is massive. Yeah, so,
Jeez, 4 million.
Yeah.
84 million.
84.7 million.
Not even South Africa gets close.
Not even. This is Germany's population in one province of China. Yeah, so...
in my behind.
So it seems like, it sounds like from what the governor technically said is that we've got two provincial twinning agreements as commas with Jiangxi, where I went to, and commas with Jiangsu.
I think You know, I think this whole twinning thing would be more fun if we did, you know, we had like a cultural exchange programs.
Yeah, but it's also based upon how, Helmut, because we already have a cultural exchange program active, but Comas region is so strong in attracting all these cultural exchange programs.
Yeah.
The German government has one with us. The Chinese government has one with us. So the German government have the Goethe-Zentrum.
Yeah.
Or the Goethe Institute
for
language and all that other stuff. And then you've got, what's its name? The Confucius Institute at UNAM by the Chinese government. Then you've got, who else is there? Then there's another one, Tochman. Then you've got that weird thing that the British government promotes in higher education, the Chevening scholarships. Which many Namibians are so mad about. For the life of me, I don't understand why, you know. I really don't understand. You know, if you make it to a South African university, then I would understand.
Yeah.
I won't throw hot water on Chevening. I'll just stop there. And then, I don't know about the Russian one is trying to kick off. That's where you went to the language thing last year.
Yeah.
Are you going back this year, Hamut?
I don't think so because a lot of people that enroll there are doing, okay, they are working like everyone. But the thing is, their work schedule is very different from mine. Like, so for the majority of them, because the majority are working like every programs of that involves people that are working, you make it an evening program.
Yeah,
because during the day, almost if not everyone is at work, except in the evening is when I'm at work.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I don't understand why, because I know that we've got. Because now it just says, okay, I don't want to read my AI, because it just basically says that Jiangsu supposedly is the only twinning agreement, but Jiangxi has been the longest one between Comas and China. So it's an additional one, obviously, here, just to correct myself, guys, just to give you an indicator of that. As we obviously look into, and we head into like the last, not the last third, this is the last sixth, yeah, or half of the last third, should I rather say. As we head into the last half of the last third, I know, fractions is not everybody's life. We're quickly going to take a short ad break, and we're going to come back after this and get into that last leg for this evening's discussion. Velvita University for the 2027 applications that are now open for the Faculty of Health Sciences for the following programs. Certificate for Enrolled Nurse, Midwife or Accoucheur Level 6, Certificate in Pharmacy Level 5, Diploma in Environmental Health Sciences Level 6, Bachelor of Social Work Honours, Bachelor of Nursing and Midwifery Science Honours, Postgraduate Diploma in Community Health Nursing Level 8, Postgraduate Diploma in Co-occupational Health and Safety Level 8, Postgraduate Diploma in Mental Health Nursing, Level 8, Master of Public Health, Master of Occupational Health and Safety. For more information, please call 081-403-6406, Velvita University, where everyone is an achiever. Yeah, so, all in all, I think actually, Helmut, in hindsight, it was an okay State of the Region address. You could anticipate, basically, or you could forecast. I mean, even the CEO of City of Windhoek, Mr. Matyai, highlighted that, that pre-discussion they had. Let's get to see what the governor will talk about. Which, okay, technically him being political, that's obviously the CEO, or just being diplomatic, to say, listen, don't, let's not try to jump the gun. But in many scenarios, what the governor cited were developments that either a ministry had announced and that we know of, and what the city of Windhoek had announced and what we know of. Now, What I'm looking forward to specifically is how does the city of Windhoek and the region itself, Commas region, achieve smart city levels or reach a desired level of rolling out, you know, a smart city developments across the city or across the region to make things work.
Yeah.
Second scenario, what I want to look forward to is that Windhoek has to become manageable for its own particular good and its own welfare. Specifically, if you've got other settlements who are not part of the city proper,
mm-hmm.
allow them to grow. Give Groothoop to Groothoop residents so that Groothoop residents make their decisions for themselves. Let them also realize that they've got to pay for water and electricity. That let them deal directly with
them. Advice is put them in a corner so they can figure it out.
Yes.
Throw them in the deep end.
Yes, let them swim.
I'm going to agree with that decision because I'm the one that came up with the idea that if you want Africa to industrialize, just sanction the heck out of them. We're going to figure it out the same way that the Iranians and the Cubans did.
Yeah. And the Mexicans and the Russians even.
Yeah.
Even under sanctions. And it'll help them, Helmut, basically try to...
Hey, you have no idea how creative we can be
No, but they will have the chance, Helmut,
yeah.
to negotiate directly with NamPower and NamWater.
Yeah.
And with the ECB and with all the other functionaries of Ministry of Finance's particular portfolio of state-owned enterprises.
Yeah, but to do that, I think you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to consult with them and then explain to them how conveniences work because they ain't cheap.
They will have to learn the lessons like Riemus learns lessons.
The hard way.
Yeah. If you don't pay, shut up.
Riemus was thrown in that deep end.
No, it fluctuates out of the deep end into the shallow end and then they just float back into the deep end. I mean, they now give you a device, Helmut, in Riemus, ne?
Mm-hmm.
Where you literally buy, you pre-buy your water.
What?
Yes. You, buying your electricity?
Uh-huh.
You pre-buy your water.
Oh.
The town even gets an allotment from its own dam that NamWater didn't build, by the way. NamWater didn't build this dam.
No, hang on a second. There's something that was, there's some kind of, I think it's a magnetic or electronic device that's used at TEPS in the informal settlement. I've seen those ones.
Yeah, yeah. But it's a measurement.
Yeah, it works on a prepaid, like.
Yeah, but it's actually, it looks like a remote. It technically looks like a massive calculator.
That's a different thing.
Yeah, this device looks like a calculator
that you
stand with. That's you and your prepaid water.
Then so you've got if your it runs out,
yeah. And
good luck doing laundry.
And that's why you don't get liberal with your geyser. You manage your geyser as well. So you literally have to play literal, you know, like management scenarios in terms of your usage, but. You have to let these smaller towns and smaller settlements, Helmut, to grow, to experience their lives. Helmut, we can't... First things first, City of Windhoek doesn't have the budget to knock down all these mountains around us.
No.
They don't have that budget.
Yeah.
Groothoop is on the other side of the Awas Mountains. And secondly, in between Groothoop and City of Windhoek, there are privately owned farms in between. So... distance is definitely a thing. So they literally have to give up such particular fanciful thoughts of expanding. Or what is that thing that they've got? Is it 50 kilometers around City of Windhoek? Is its particular sort of like municipal limits? Relinquish such particular ownership hopes. Rescale, resize your municipal limits. Let the other smaller settlements in the region, let them fend for themselves or let them buy from you. But unsustainability, ne?
So basically you should tell them you're 18 now, you can go out there and get a job.
There's Dordabas, there's Dordabas, there's Debra. Yeah, there's Dordabas, there's Debra. Those two others, okay, Debra is actually a mission, a Catholic mission. But Dordabas is the other one, which is also a little rural community. Let them grow by themselves. Let them become municipalities. Let them become town councils or village councils.
Oh, boy.
The concerns here is, Hamudne.
Yeah.
You will always hear, for example, if you really want to see, like, decent, I don't want to use the word development here, but decent, like, decent growth in the sense of properties being bought, people building houses, people settling down, schools are being built, other facilities and services are being allocated to these new particular urban settlements. Such particular growth you really want to see in some parts of this country. And it has to complement what the city itself is basically doing.
Yeah.
But it's not the city basically owning or being responsible for police there or for water and electricity there. No, let that town. If that small town of Grootop or of Dordabus want to champion renewable sunlight energy for everybody every day, and they will say free solar panels for every household there in that town, yeah, boy, yes. Go for everyone, solar for everybody. Get crazy, you know, go do your thing. Because really, the city itself has its issues and its pains. If I am a cosmopolitan inhabitant of Commerce region, all I would want to do, if I see the city is technically unaffordable for my pocket, I just want to go live in Grootop. I just want to go live in Grootop and drive to Windhoek. But Grootop doesn't even have a service station. Do you know that?
I've been there.
Yeah.
Believe me.
It doesn't have a service station.
It's a very beautiful, quiet place.
Yeah. With the potential of asset forfeiture departments also coming to look into your kitchen door there every day. That's the other downsides.
Okay, I was just there during the day and then came back in the evening. So asset forfeiture department, that's not new. I mean, you live in Tura long enough, you get used to that. Well, you have asset forfeiture department in Tura and you have asset forfeiture department in Kleiner Cooper. It's just that one wears suits and sits in parliament. The other one walks around in all stars the whole day.
You guys heard as the parliamentarians, ne? What Helmut said. I never saw parliamentarians be asset forfeiture departments, but okay, Helmut.
You kidding me? Those are the biggest asset forfeiture departments.
I think you're talking about the Kenyan parliament. I haven't seen the Namibian parliament do that yet. Mm-hmm.
Kenya doesn't have a fish rod. Never letting that one go.
Until
I just had to delete that documentary from YouTube.
Yeah, they won't let it go. You won't.
Never hearing the end of it.
Yeah.
Okay. I think, development wise, I'm really looking forward to the state of the region address to see what's going on in other regions.
Yeah.
And sort of like, compare and contrast in terms of execution, because that's the main goal that we have. It's like one of the main hurdle that we face, especially in terms of public procurement. It's the reason why we are basically fixing our public procurement act, amending it so that it can leave room for maneuverability in terms of a project execution.
Mm.
That's after we learned it the hard way that we are over regulating ourselves after we found out that, with the current, state of things, especially in terms of public procurement, you need to, more than 5 months to procure a door. And from that, we were like, you know what? I think
this. And we still don't know if that door is fixed.
Yeah, someone from Ishakati, please. No.
Give us a holler.
Yeah. So, the thing is, for me, I think the very important discussion that, that approach would be interesting one to take a shot at.
Yeah.
But I still maintain it must start with consultations. Because I know if you just work with the Ministry of Finance, Urban Rural Development, acquire financing and build all this type of developments and you realize that people are not paying.
Mm.
And I know there is one debt collection agency. We all actually, well, I don't owe anyone money, so they have never called me. So there is a lot. There is a lot of things that okay. Think of it in terms of a financial, financial management that is facing our country. That is so bad. Namfisa and the Ministry of Finance has to had to sit and try to figure out what's going on in our finance. That's the level of terrible financial decisions that we are making on a personal level.
Yeah.
So with the terrible financial decisions that will bring together the Ministry of Finance and Namfisa to try and figure out, you know, using legislations. That tells you that that's bad. And, well, just, you know, last week we had a councillor here, Commerce, Wintu, you know, telling us to split monthly salary in half. Maybe that will solve some problems. Those are the people that you want to bring services to without informing them. They're going to leave you in debt. And you want to how to settle that debt. So I think this would be a very nice conversation. And I'm glad the Minister of Urban Rural Development brought that point up. This would be a very nice conversation for rural constituency councillors and Minister of Urban Rural Development and Minister of Finance to have. And then have that discussion with their people.
Do you need toiletries and household cleaners? You won't get it cheaper than a You Save up to the 7th of June. Get 250 mm jars of Vaseline for only $25. Smell fresh with Playboy roll-on deodorant for just $18.99. Get 2 kg of Surf hand washing powder for just $49.99. Get 750 mm sunlight dishwashing liquid for $28.99. And get 2 boxes of Cares Maxi sanitary pads for only $12.99. You Save. Where else?
Welcome back. We have 15 minutes left to the hour of 7. So that means we just have enough time to wrap things up now. Where was I?
Yeah.
So constituency councillors, Minister of Urban and Rural Development, and Minister of Finance come together to talk about development, private financing available for the developmental projects on a constituency or local government level. And then these respective constituency councillors have that very, hard talk with their people. You know, that development that you all want.
Yeah.
I have good news and bad news. Good news. Bad news. We don't have money for it. Good news. The Ministry of Finance, the Ministry of Urban and Rural Development can help us access that financing. The only thing is we have to reach an agreement. Right now. How do you say right now in Afrikaans?
Huidiglik op hierdie oomblik.
Yeah, that. And what he said, we have to reach an agreement. we have to reach that agreement now that all the development that you want, all the convenience that you want, they cost money. You want electricity, you want electrification, you want a tap in your house, and all these things that you see in rural areas. We can do that. But the first thing is we have got to learn to live close to each other.
Yeah.
That's your biggest problem. We have got to come, we need a layout that makes electrification and water connection easy. Can we do that? If they say yes, then we'll move on to the next step. Now, all this water and electricity connectivity that's going to come and, will create employment for refuse removal and all that thing. All those things cost money. Do you still want it? Now, if the answer is yes, you just send that message to the, you also have to do an assessment of, average income, because you don't want to shove expenses on the throats of people that don't have jobs.
Well, if you discover that wheelie dustbin, the green one we have here in Ventu, in some places of this country, it costs $200. In other places, they cost $1,000.
A thousand.
Other places, it's 500. So yeah, it depends.
No, you can just
opportunity creation.
Look, you can just have a City of Windhoek type of modus operandi where you have to pay like utility fees when it gets stolen. Like interesting enough, ours got stolen 2 years ago. For the first time, I had to I learned that City of Windhoek solid waste department is in Southern Industry.
No, but those guys, they will actively come and tell you if they see your dustbin is damaged.
Yeah.
Please replace.
So I just went straight there. So, in 2 days, had a new one.
Chop, chop.
Yeah, chop, chop. Yeah. So, but the thing is,
top-notch.
That is not coming from, government must pay for it. No.
No.
It's just a monthly, think of it as subscriptions.
And in some cases, it gets added onto the water and electricity bill that you get. So you pay it off anyway.
I think, development is easy.
It is easy. If it systems is easy. Are sorted
If you out. Reach an agreement
no.
that...
Yeah. The
yeah.
agreement
yeah.
allows for systems to be developed.
Yeah.
So if these particular systems work in a manner, Helmut, that doesn't doesn't inconvenience our lives.
Yeah.
Because what I can't understand for myself now is hearing arguments in 2026 where people don't want to pay for things. Even when I make the suggestion for the affordable public transport, let's say the bus service that runs in a circular motion throughout Windhoek, I have to pay for a ticket. You pay a ticket for your route. You buy a ticket for your route.
Yeah.
What is so difficult? So why am I willing to pay for the one thing, but I don't want to pay for water and electricity and sewage removal or refuse removal?
Just think of it from the architecture or the blueprint or the execution of the service provision itself. Take transport, for example.
Yeah.
If you want, subsidized transport in your area and your constituency councillor says, okay, you know what, if you are willing to pay for the service that you are asking for, then I can work with the central government to acquire the funding so that we can get the services and you can all agree.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. If you want to understand why your constituency councillor is telling you that, you have to understand one thing. If, for example, that money is borrowed, the money is borrowed and you have now five buses, those buses are going to need drivers.
Mm.
Now, who will want to drive for free? And every now and then the buses will need service, some parts will break and they will need fixing. Which shop is going to fix them free?
Exactly.
And they will need fuel. Which service station will provide that fuel for free?
Exactly.
No one. So that means all these expenses that the service requires are going to come from the user. So to maintain it, you will obviously charge a fee to use the service.
Per month,
yeah.
Per week, per day.
Just drop a schedule. The problem is politicians shows up and start making promise like free transport.
Over there, he stands over there without knowing the system over here.
Free transport, my guy.
Where have you seen free transport? But yeah, that is one of the particular downsides because we have to. My concern is, Helmut, it's not just about things like.
I'm still going with your idea of throw them in the deep end.
Yeah, I would also do that. Throw them in the deep end.
We'll make excellent parliamentarians.
But my concern is based on. People realizing the value of money. Money doesn't just grow anywhere, and it's not a given that you will always get your wishes. This is not Christmas. We're not 5-year-olds or 10-year-olds even. We have to deal with realities.
Yeah.
Now, the reason why I suggested make them town councils, village councils, let them learn to pay for things, become sustainable, participate in their local elections wherever they are.
Yeah.
Is the reason that it allows the community to that settlement to develop an identity away from Windhoek. It'll allow Dordabus to develop an identity away from Windhoek. It's such particular scenarios that we've got to understand. Listen, City of Windhoek, unfortunately, yes, you might be the central heartbeat of this country, of this region. You might be the only heartbeat of this region. The downside is you've got to let certain things go. Realize that you need, that your projects, your plans will not survive the future. It won't. Hamoud, it will not. There's no way that anyone will be able to build anything if I drive through this pass on the way here to Rehoboth. And I'll do that again on Saturday to go visit my sister. Every time I get there, I get a stark wake-up call of what geography does. What geography tells us humanity is geography tells you, your house cannot stand like this against an incline.
No.
Or like this downhill. Your house cannot stand sideways.
You'll have to align it.
Basically. And what does that include? A lot of engineering costs.
Yeah.
So, where will people cut first? On engineering costs.
Yeah.
So, first things first. Allow certain things to grow organically. Because if you allow Groothoop to grow organically, it allows to help the farming communities around Groothoop to serve it.
Yeah.
If you allow Dordabus to grow organically, it'll allow Dordabus to serve the farming communities around it. If you leave that traditional authority and its communal land net just there where it is, it'll sort itself out. It will. I know it's within the governor's purview.
Mm-hmm.
That's obviously his assessments.
Yeah.
But the governor also has to throw in a $5 somewhere, sometime, you know, now and then to say, hey, listen, guys, Windhoek is Windhoek.
Mm-hmm.
Groothoop is Groothoop. Dordabus is Dordabus. The common in traditional authority is the common in traditional authority. They've got unique identities. Let's approach this as unique identities.
Yeah.
Let's not let Komas's identity be Windhoek's identity. Or Windhoek's identity being Komas's identity. Yeah. Because Komas needs to have different faces, different perspectives, different contributions, different industries, different thriving scenarios. And currently right now, if you think about Komas, your first identity to think about is Windhoek.
Windhoek. You think about, Erongo, the first picture that comes up is Valves, Wagop, Handy's Bay.
Basically. You've got a mixed bag of at least three to four local authorities that have different identities in Erongo.
Yeah.
When it comes to Komas, Komas is just Windhoek, front and center. But yeah, that's where we find ourselves.
So, which region is coming up next?
Why, I don't know why you're so happy, Ahmed. I want us to look at Ocho Zonjuba. That uncle, he speaks very slow.
Okay.
The governor of Ocho Zonjuba.
Ocho Zonjuba it is.
Yeah, but
Ocho Zonjuba.
I want to see what he factors in for his first state of the region. No, second. No, first. We didn't hear him last year. Remember, we had Sinimbo. We had
My favorite, Ohangwena.
Ohangwena.
Yeah.
How much you have to stop? You have to leave her alone. She's married, Heilmut.
My favorite region.
Oh, yes. Okay.
My favorite governor is Sinimbo because of the, you know,
the watermelon juice.
Watermelon juice, yeah.
Oh, okay. She's also married. I'm just letting you know.
Just watermelon juice, dude.
Okay.
Think inside the box on this one.
We need to be professional. We can't have crashes, you know.
Yeah. Good luck with that one.
But yeah, we had Omeheke as well also last year. We had Karas last year. We didn't look at Komas. We didn't look at Hardap. We didn't look at you and Anakleta's home ground being Hayambo. No, Hambiuka. Yeah, Hambiuka, not Hayambo. Governor Hambiuka. We didn't look at him last year. I'd like to see what the collection of these guys basically will say. But
yeah,
we need to look at Ocho Zonjuba next in terms of our engagement because I want to see what's going on. Ocho Zonjuba, matter of fact, Ahmed, has got a large contribution of mining activity in it.
You know, The region that shocks me every time that I look at the map and then I look at the size of the landmass is Kunene. Jesus, Kunene is massive.
Yeah. Remember, Kunene's pain last year when we looked at Kunene was the active role that governor had to play versus the governor that we obviously, you know, we assessed for our discussion for today was like, you know, there's this other large entity that does the work. I'm just giving. I'm just taking stock of activities that have taken place.
Yeah, yeah.
That governor for Kunene was like, we've got to do this. We've got to do that. We've got to switch on lights here. We've got to open a tap there.
We have to switch on lights here and drive. I don't know how many kilometers to open a tap. That's Kunene.
Yeah. And go and find, you know, people hiding out in the bush on a mountain somewhere in the middle of the region.
See, that's just the thing, because now you are a constituency councillor in a constituency where people live hundreds of kilometers away from each other. And they are asking for services.
And only you know where they live.
Yeah, you know where they live.
That's the sad part.
Yeah, but
only you know where those people live that are in your constituency.
Look, public office is not easy.
Only you know where those people live.
All right. Until tomorrow, same time, same place.
On my side, same time, same place, dear listeners. Stay tuned for the next program after the break and enjoy the rest of your programming in our company.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events.